We'll call the meeting to order of the Capital Investment Conference Committee. We're calling the 9:30 meeting to order at 11. So we'll note that in the minutes. We have been, over the last several hours and several hours last night, sat down and thought about many of the words that we heard last night, many of the concerns that were expressed by the Senate, and I think they were right. I don't think we had it. We thought we had it right, but we were wrong. And so we thought that we would come and see if we could find a way yet to resolve this, at least, I think at this point, I'm not sure we could work through the language, but it would be nice to agree on the dollars in a spreadsheet before we go home for the Easter break. And so what I heard last night from Senate and Senator Langseth is that we had erred in the area of red light. We had erred in the area of floods, particularly in northwestern Minnesota, an area of the state that has been hit awfully hard. And in error, I had hit my friend Senator Metzen too hard in the area of Port Crosby, and that was certainly an error. And so we have a new revised offer that I think what I'll do is talk about a little bit and recess it, and so that Senator Langseth has an opportunity to review it. The highlights, you know, rather than going through the whole thing, I'll just hit the highlights. We have made some changes, again, from our last offer on the front page. We have dropped from the bottom of the list a project in a Republican district, the North Glen CTC Workforce Edition, for a nursing renovation. I think we're all concerned about the nursing shortage and making sure that we do that, but we have decided that, if I understand the Minsky priority, that should move from the bottom now to the top of the list, and we're not too far from another bonding bill. To bring some balance and to save some dollars, the one project that, as I've looked at it and learned about it more, Bemidji Bridgman Hall can be phased into two, and so we have allowed for the first phase, which is the nursing phase, to move forward. On the second page, we've, from our previous proposal, added more money into the red light schools, added the money back into the flood hazard mitigation grants. Many members of the House, both on the conference committee and off of the conference committee, had pointed out that perhaps I had been too punitive in the iron range and hadn't done enough for them, and so we've added a $700,000 marker for the Mesabi Trailhead Station, and Senator Langseth had spoken quite a bit about that. The on page three of this, you have the Office of Environmental Assistance. My good friend Senator Senjum and Representative Bradley have been relentless in their pursuit of some money for the volleyball facility. And what they have suggested to me is one way to get there was to move the money from the Olmsted County waste burner into that. And so what we have left there is enough money for the Red Wing provision. And we have put $1.6 million into the Rochester Volleyball Center. In consultation, the governor and governor's office has suggested a different number, lowering the number in zoo asset preservation. And so we've taken some dollars there. We removed some dollars from the overall budget for the Metropolitan Regional Parks and have come up, however, in a regional park of Port Crosby. Flipping to the back page, we have come up or down, I guess, depending on where you look at it, in permanent support of housing, particularly Representative Murphy on the House side. Feels very strongly, very passionately, and articulates very well, as I think does Senator Pappas and others, about the need for that. And so we thought that it was important to do that. Under the grants to political subdivisions, thinking about something that Senator Langseth has talked to me a lot, that I've tried to learn from his years of experience, which is, you know, if you look at certain parts of the state, they were locked out, so to speak, and so the Blue Earth Fire and Police Station has been resurrected, which I guess is appropriate for this time of year. There has been a resurrection in that area. That's kind of the brief tour of it. We have tried to recognize, I think, tried to recognize the priorities of, I shouldn't say priorities, the ways in which I tried to recognize some of the concerns of the Senate. I should also add, we have put in $1 million for the St. Paul Home and Field Protection, and that's a difficult one. There seems to be a real division in the people of St. Paul, but I do think it's an important economic development project, and I do hear loud and clearly from a lot of folks interested in creating jobs that's important. And so, well, Senator, this is how we have revised our last proposal to you, trying to recognize the words and what I sensed were the areas that you felt we had erred in the most from your view, and this is our response to that. I know that we had just presented it to you, and it would be very unfair of me just to say, hey, what do you think, and call for a vote. That is not my intention, but if you have some brief comments to make, then I would suggest that we take a recess of a time that you can determine and chew it over. Senator Langseth.
Well, we've made two decisions in this committee so far. One is to do the Senate version of higher education and the CREP program. This particular proposal goes back on that original position by almost $50 million in higher education. I believe, if I got it figured right, about $49 million or so. That was a unanimous vote, as I remember. Now, obviously, it was mentioned even at the time, we'd probably have to revisit some of the tentative decisions, but to go from pretty much full funding to taking almost $50 million out, I think is totally unacceptable. We will take a look at it. We'll take a look at it.
Representative McNamara.
The only thing I would say, Mr. Chair, is I think there was a parking user fee that we had talked about, and I just don't know if we want to.
I think, Representative McNamara, I don't know if that's really going to, since it's not a GEO provision anyway, it doesn't change the balance of the bill. We'll take action on that. I'm not sure that it.
Okay, that's right. Mr. Chair, I forgot. That's not a GEO.
It's not a GEO number, and so.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Right. No problem at all.
I'd just like to mention also, Metro Parks, you cut it in half. It's $7 million to $3.5 million. Right?
Mr. Chair, or Senator Langseth, excuse me. Yeah, that is correct. And we have advocates in the House, Representative McNamara, Representative Hausman, reluctantly, after kicking, screaming, and fighting in that area. But the one thing that I think gave them both some comfort is when the governor's office said, well, we would prefer our total number and no earmarkings below it, meaning no Port Crosby, no Raspberry Island. We certainly think it's a reasonable solution to put a somewhat smaller number on the top, fully fund the Port Crosby and the Raspberry Island. In aggregate, there's actually more money for Metro Parks, Metro Regional Parks. We have said that our priorities are to make sure that of that larger number, that the two projects, Port Crosby and the project here in St. Paul, receive funding. So we don't always mistrust the judgment of the Metropolitan Council. We want to and some of the good representatives that are I know are here, like my good friend Mr. McDaniel. But sometimes we want to give them advice in a direct fashion, and so with the governor's office saying, you know, we can live with that because an aggregate is more than we even asked for. You're correct in what the numbers are,
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
As it pertains to Port Crosby, I mean, this has been a project going on for about 5 years. And quite frankly, I always had it out there as a standalone project. I was never pitting it against the Metro Park system. So I want that to be very clear to the people in the audience that it was never, to me, my judgment, one or the other. And I still believe the Metro Parks needs the $7 million. So I was never attempting to conquer or divide and conquer. I just think that you need the seven, and of course the Port Crosby issue.
And Senator Metzen, I think that Representative Hausman and Representative McNamara would say these, not only would but have said the exact same thing as, you know, Quitlink and O'Dorman. So they say that. I understand that. I also have worn my Easter colors to try to get something done. So with that, members and folks in the audience, oh, wait a minute,
Mr. Chair and Representative, I would note Representative McNamara, I thought, brought an interesting point up earlier before the gathering here today, which might be somewhat pertinent to our discussions as we move into deliberations. And that, I may not have understood this exactly, but I think you suggested that maybe you had adjusted the interest and inflation on the Minsky project,
yes,
for a 9-month period as opposed to a year, and that's probably fairly important to know,
right,
if I have that correctly.
Senator St. John, I thank you for calling that out, because that is exactly why the number changed. You know, we talked about the two projects. You know, we could say one of ours and one of theirs or whatever, but two projects that we changed the dollars, and the other one is we changed the inflation amount. The thing that I've always struggled with is how to do that inflation, because it just can't possibly be that everything is exactly inflated the same percentage. Now, the department, you know, Minsky doesn't pick that, and the University of Minnesota doesn't. The finance department comes up with that number, but, you know, I never understood, you know, I'm not in the construction business, but if you got 20 projects, it would be some weird thing if they all went up exactly 8.5%. I struggled with how to do that better for them, because I think what's going to happen is maybe it is. Whatever that number is, it's an average, and I still think they're going to find themselves short on one project and long on another. But I never really thought that was the correct number, which in the original House bill, we actually recognized no inflation. But thank you for bringing that up. Senator Pappas?
Mr. Chairman, I know we want to recess, but and I'm sorry I was a few minutes late. I came as soon as I got the message. But I don't understand how this is progress when you're cutting another $10 million out of higher ed.
Sure. And Senator, that you're exactly right. I mean, that is the way you can view it. And I understand that view very much. I am trying to live within the $880 million GEO number and try to find a solution that is acceptable to both the House and the Senate. And so when we presented the offer last night, we've spent several hours trying to find out what that solution can possibly be. We still may not have it right, which is why I suggested that we recess, but I am struggling trying to do it. And so this is our attempt to try to get it done by Easter, but maybe what you're saying is we haven't done enough work and we can't get it done by Easter. Maybe you're right. I hope we can still get it done, but we need to keep trying.
You know, for each $10 million increase of the 880, there's about a $1 million debt service in the next biennium. You know, it would not take there very much movement up to accommodate the wishes of these two bodies. Instead, we come back, $50 million cuts in higher education, after we had voted, our initial vote, unanimously, not to cut them. And it certainly is acceptable to cut them some. We know that. But $50 million cut, and then not giving them much of any inflation on the projects, which is I think going to be a tremendous bind on many of those projects. If this is a better offer than last night, it sure isn't much better. I noticed you did place some money in certain districts that probably helped the situation on this committee, but I'm not sure it helped the bill.
Senator Papert.
One more comment, Representative Dorman, and that is you're probably aware that the $2 million requested for building a dike in St. Paul is universally opposed by the entire St. Paul City Council and almost the entire St. Paul delegation. I know all the senators are opposed to it. And so we would like to see that money put toward Metro Parks because we have a commitment to our colleagues in the Metro Park system to fund that at the governor's level of $7 million.
Sure. I appreciate those comments and understand them. I would say a couple of things. One, we did have the 10-0 vote on higher ed. I believe, if my memory is correct, that after that I started saying, let's do this, because I thought it was. And I think you heard comments from our side, Al, that we thought that was not the proper way to try to craft the bill. Correct. I understand what you're saying. And then there was the word tentative thrown in there, and I don't know what tentative, how that impacts it. And so without getting into the rhetoric, I'll say you're right. We did have a 10-0 vote on that. This is our proposal. You're also correct that there's very little debt service dollars required to make this a larger bill. I fully understand that. I personally believe that if we do not get something done and get it done now, I think the bonding bill would eventually pass. I think one would eventually pass, whether it's in May or June, in one of the special sessions, would probably be significantly larger, or if not larger. However, the risk we run is well, it may be somewhat larger and maybe higher in this area or higher in that area. We'll probably miss a construction season. And so while I understand that we could all make this better in our own ways for very few dollars, that I don't know that we want to risk. I don't know that we want to risk losing that construction season. And Senator Pappas, well, not trying to pick a fight with you, the Senate bonding bill that I can go back and look, but I believe you voted for, did have $1 million in it for Home and Field. So the original Senate position was $1 million for Home and Field, and the crazy thing is we didn't have a position for it. And so it was in your original bill.
Mr. Garman, we've given up that position a long time ago.
Right, but to say that...
So you're fighting for our position. We're telling you, stop fighting.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm just saying it's a little, you know, you're hitting awful hard for something that you've already voted for. I understand that there's a difference between the St. Paul City Council, how they feel about it, and how Senator Kelly, or who's that guy, Mayor Kelly feels about it. I understand the politics of it. I understand the policy of it. I do understand, but don't forget you have voted for it.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think this is one more way to throw a little clinker into something to keep it from happening. It was pretty much understood that this would not be part of the agreement because of the delegation from St. Paul. You know, you can argue for or against that project, and that's fine. But the fact that it showed up now, it was a Senate position, not a House position. I think everybody can determine why it's here. But
I think they can determine that, and I think if it does break down, which I hope that it doesn't, you know, I suspect the rhetoric might be from one side, you know, they didn't want to do it because of darn Home and Field, and you know, we'll probably craft some rhetoric to try to blame the Senate. And what I'm suggesting is we should try to find a way not to blame each other and try to figure out how to get it done. It's not my way, it's not your way, it's our way.
Well, you know, in the rhetoric before, for a long time, it was determined that project would not be in here. And again, I say it was put back in for a reason. And it had nothing to do with the project.
Well, there you have it. No, Senator Senja.
Well, Mr. Chair, just before we go...
I would only hope that we could dedicate this day to getting this bill done, and that we could all go home on this day, back into our districts, with the good news of a completed bonding bill. I think that's very important. We've said it 100 times. And so hopefully in good faith we'll go off now and we'll maybe try to find whatever the middle is, but work hard to find that because it's terribly important.
Kumbaya. Well, Mr. Chair, I would say the middle was achieved yesterday with our proposal.
So let me get that straight. The middle was achieved with our way. I mean, that's how it does.
No, it was not even close to our way.
I understand.
Our way was, we came down $70 million to. We came down to your number, and now we're supposed to come down to your projects.
Slightly incorrect, but only slightly. We came up to the midpoint, and now we're haggling over the projects. I have tried to take your proposal. Took it back. We worked on it. Came out with something else. I heard you say, I don't like a lot of it about it, but I tried to understand what the top three or four things you didn't like about it were. Have tried to accommodate those, and now coming back saying, are we closer? And that is the point of it. And so I believe we have a session scheduled for 11:30. The House meets?
Yes.
The House meets at 11:30. And so I would suggest, with your permission, Senator, that that's probably going to be a short session, and we could probably be back here at 12:15. If you're not ready to come back yet, if you're still need more time, by all means take it. I know that I have taken up a lot of your time and a lot of the Senate's time, and in fact, once violated the protocol of not letting you know we were ordering food, and I should make a public apology for that too. But why don't we recess until 12:15? We'll be back here, and if you still need some more time, that's sure all right by us.
We won't need more time, Mr. Chair, but why don't we say to the call of the chair, and we'll be there within 5 or 10 minutes.
Right. How much time, Senator, do you think you need?
Very little.
Well, why don't we recess, and we'll wait here until right at 11:30, and if you have time, if that's what you really want to do.
No.
If that's what you want to do, is go make a hurried decision. Is that what I understand you're saying?
Mr. Chair, could you please show a little more respect, not those snide remarks, please?
I will only show you the same respect, Senator, that you're showing me, and so I'm trying to understand what your words meant when you said we won't need that much time.
You said something about going into session.
At 11:30, I suggest we come back here in roughly 50 minutes. And you said we won't need that much time. I believe those were your words.
But you're correct.
12:15 or at the call of the chair. Thank you.
Apologize again for being a half hour late, but there was some gentle persuasion occurring, and we've waited for that to occur. But I think we're ready. As I understand it, Senator Langsworth, you have an alternate proposal. Is that correct?
I'm not sure if I'm the one that's going to have it or not.
Okay, maybe not. I'm sorry, I was misinformed.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
Mr. Chairman, if we have a couple of minutes, I actually have a question about one of the projects to kind of understand what the deal is. In both the House and the Senate bill, proposals. We have on line 172 the joint plant pathology research facility, and I understand there's, you know, some need to get that research done on different plant pathologies. In fact, I took my committee over to the Cargill building and learned about some of the problems with soybean rust. But I'm just kind of wondering about the financing. We had a planning grant, kind of a let's get the design in place, and the house it looks like was at full funding, and then, you know, our proposals have been in somewhere in between. I have some concerns about a third of the cost coming from the U of M because it's not kind of on their priority list, and I'm just wondering if we could just maybe have the plant pathology people who are lobbying this issue come up, and the university come up, if we have time, hear about what might be the best way to resolve this.
I think that's an excellent suggestion, Senator. Does somebody here from the University of Minnesota or anyone that wants to speak to the BioLevel 3 facility? I think it was, as I don't recall, I think it was on their list last year, but the planning dollars didn't move forward. My sense, Senator, would be had the planning dollars moved forward last year, you would have seen them come forward with a request this year, which would have then put it on their list. But I think they didn't really change their list very much like Minskew, but let's hear. Please state your name.
My name is Mary Hanks. I'm with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. The BL3 facility at the university is a joint project and would be coming forward from the Minnesota Department of Ag for a grant to the university, and they would not be then required to cover a third of the cost or the user financed. Senator Pappas, did you have an additional question?
What was your name again?
Mary Hanks.
I'm sorry. Ms. Hanks, Mr. Chairman?
Ms. Hanks.
Well, Ms. Hanks, we do have from the chairman's proposal that does have a third of the cost coming from the U and only 3.3 then in this bonding bill. And I understand in the Senate proposal, we only had $3 million, and that's not enough to build the building.
No, it's not.
So where are you at in terms of, I mean, right. Typically what we do around here, Mr. Chairman Hanks, is, you know, we kind of get the design in place so that people are ready to go, and then we come back in next year, it'll just be a few months from now, really.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas, the original proposal from the Department of Ag was for the pre-design funding and to finish equipping the current BL2 facility. That was the $245,000.
Okay.
In discussions with the chair, we then came forward with the construction dollars as well. At this point, without full funding, I'm not sure that we could build the facility. So we could still proceed with pre-design and finishing equipping the BL2 with the $245,000.
Okay.
That's correct.
Then, Mr. Chairman, could we also hear from the University of Minnesota about the one-third financing from the U?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Ms. Hanks a question.
Senator Dill, of course, Ms. Hanks.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Hanks, of the $4.9 million, how much of it is for equipment inside the building?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dill, about $100,000, $150,000. For the BL2. Okay. I'm not sure how to break down the amount for the new BL3 facility, though, between construction and equipment. Maybe the university might know that exact number.
Okay. Well, sure. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Hanks, I'm a little surprised to hear that you want to back down to $245,000 when there's all kinds of agricultural groups out there that are interested in getting this lab up and going because of soybean rust problems and soybean aphids and the potential for exotic diseases coming into the country from various sources. And I think there's a large number of agricultural groups that are very interested in getting that lab up and running.
Mr. Chair,
no, let me answer first. I don't believe she wants to back down, Senator. I think you're taking that a step further. I didn't hear her say that. I didn't hear her say that was her desire to back down.
But, Mr. Chairman, I think what I heard was that Fairland requests the $4.9 million, she said she's willing to drop from $3 million to $245,000 and go with the pre-design money.
I don't know if she's willing to do or what she's not willing to do. You have to understand that she is an agency. She works for an agency. You're putting her in a position to, she had a hard time advocating for anything but the official position of the governor. And so you're putting her, so you understand what you're doing to her, you're putting her in an uncomfortable position. And just, I don't know that she's advocating one way or the other. She's giving you the options and what it means. So to suggest that she doesn't understand the soybean rust situation, I would just request respectfully that you not do that of her.
So, okay, I understand if that's the case. So what you're saying, that this is, the governor does not support the $4.9 million, is that what you're saying, so she can't advocate for it?
It's not.
That is correct, Senator, that if I understand official department policy would be to only advocate the position in the governor's bonding bill. They can give you options of things that you can do. They can tell you what will happen if you do this or that.
Yes.
But you're asking her to make a value judgment, and I just don't think that's fair.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Mr. Chair.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to, I have a number of questions about this project. The very first thing I want to say is that, Mr. Chair, you are the one that brought this forward. The importance of this project, I come from an industry that deals with invasion of species. I'm a landscape contractor and nurseryman. And for us to be able to react quicker than the governor could, the governor's proposal came out a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is serious stuff, folks. This was down in South America. It was in Texas. It's been found in Missouri. And Ms. Hanks, I have a number of questions. First of all, the economic impact potentially, worst case scenario, for Minnesota in 1 year with soybean rust is what?
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, I believe the potential losses are up to 40 to 50% of the value of the soybean crop.
And would I be, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Hanks, would I be correct to say that that potentially could be in the neighborhood of $120 million up to $400 and some million in 1 year for our agricultural industry in Minnesota?
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, that's correct.
Thank you, Ms. Haynes. So, a University of Minnesota alumni who's chair of our conference committee, and myself as the vice chair of this conference committee and a University of Minnesota alumni, understand the importance. And we're asking us to put forward, like a regular University of Minnesota project, do the two-thirds, and then we would expect the university to do one-third. And their ability to react to the importance of this project, I think, would be fantastic. We need to protect Senator Dill's industry of soybeans, and for the chairman to be able to move so quickly, because we were still taking testimony, so our new members, the Senate didn't have any new members in their capital investment, so they had to move their bill a little quicker. We had to have some testimony with some new members of the House. We were able to react to the needs of this, and so that's why we want to fund this. This is a terrific, important project, and again shows why we need flexibility and how we need to change. And I guess I would want to hear from the university, Mr. Chair, of their willingness to address these needs and work it within their large capital investment budget that we have proposed here. This is a really, really important project, and if we're able to start it before Easter instead of before the 4th of July, that would be that much more important.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator, just to reiterate that, I think had the Senate, and this is not taking a shot at you, but I think had you had the time, you know, had it been a normal bonding year, I think you would have reached the same decision. So I'm not going to say, boy, the Senate didn't care about soybean rust. I don't think that would be fair to do, because I think that had you heard the information in a normal year, you would probably have reached the same decision. But I don't know that.
Mr. Chairman, I'm still hoping to have someone from the university.
Yes,
address.
We will get there.
But I took my committee on a tour of the higher ed committee of the Cargill building on the University of Minnesota St. Paul campus, and I thought for sure they were doing research there into soybean rust. That was one of the things we talked about. So I'm trying to understand, is this a little...
So we'll get somebody from the university here to answer that question directly. They may, I don't know what research they're doing in that particular building, but they would not have a bio-level 3 lab in the Cargill building. I don't know that the nearest one is in, at least somewhere, there's one in Hawaii, and is there...
am I off on understanding?
Mr. Chair, there's also one in California at Davis, but it's built but not operating.
Okay, so there is no bi-level 3 containment facility in Minnesota.
No, Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas. they could not be doing research with the actual soybean rust organism. It was still considered a select agent until, I believe, late last week it was taken off the list. It's still considered quarantined in Minnesota, as far as I know.
Thank you. Is there someone from the university that could come and shed light where there's darkness? Thank you. Please get your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, Todd Iverson, University of Minnesota. I apologize. I'm running back and forth. Mm-hmm. We are having a hearing at a stadium across the street, so I apologize. If you could fill me in on the question, I would be happy to try to answer it.
Sure. With your permission, Senator, I'll paraphrase it if I'm incorrect. Thank you. In the proposal that is before us, there's funding for a bio-level 3 facility that would be a joint project between the University of Minnesota and the Minnesota Department of Ag, which is not dissimilar to the current BL2 facility there, which I believe was funded using the one-third, two-thirds split. In the original proposals that we had talked about jointly supported, we had thought we could find the dollars to fully fund it and not make you pick up the one-third. Unfortunately, due to the budget constraints that we live in, we are no longer able to do that. And so one of the suggestions that I had was perhaps we ask the University of Minnesota to pick up that other one-third. And so we're kind of curious about your comments on that particular shift, and also if you are aware, and if you're not, we understand that too, what, if any, research is going on at the University of Minnesota in the area of soybean rust. Senator, is that about it?
Mm-hmm. Hi. Mr. Chairman and committee members, as of right now, we are not doing any direct research on soybean rust because, as the Mary said, it's something that we don't want to introduce into the state, and we do not have the containment facilities at the university to do research on that pathogen at this point. I have briefly discussed this with our chief fiscal officer, Mr. Fitzenrider, and as it was not on our request sheet at the beginning, at this point we cannot support a one-third debt service on it because it has not gone before our Board of Regents for approval. That is not to say that we're not interested in the facility, but we cannot support the position at this point that you put in front of us.
Sure. Is it fair to say you neither support nor oppose?
Mr. Chairman, I can say what my chief fiscal officer told me is that we cannot support that proposal that way at this time.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just so I understand this, at the $3 million level, you're expected to come up with one-third of the money, but at the $4.9 million level, that's full funding, I think, so you don't, that would be okay because you don't have to come up with the other one-third. Okay.
Senator Dill, I apologize. Great. I appreciate that. Are there other questions either for the Department of Agriculture or our friends from, yes, Representative McNamara?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I apologize, sir, that your name from the university?
Todd Iverson.
Mr. Iverson, so I can understand correctly, I know the university, this bonding proposal that's before us is basically the one that was before the higher ed when soybean rust was still in Texas. Soybean rust has a potential to be in southern Minnesota now. So just as our board, our committee here, the Capital Investment Committee, had the ability to react to this and come up with our share of normal University of Minnesota funding of a project, say, on the St. Paul campus, if we were to remodel the dairy barn to be for the school of veterinarians, it would be one-third funding by the University of Minnesota. Would that be true on the same campus?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, that would be correct. I think the distinction here is that that we have a process that we go through. As you're aware, the university is a very large organization. We have a process we go through. And I'm not saying that our Board of Regents would be opposed to this, but it has not been before them in a formal request. And that being said, the way that it was came out of the House was that it was fully funded. We were very supportive of the project. That's not what I'm saying. It's in this form, we have not had a chance to talk with our Board of Regents to get that approval.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm trying to understand your process. So, for instance, it was not at the beginning of the session, you didn't support it yet because you didn't have a position. And if we were to take another University of Minnesota project, one that used to be on campus when I went to college in 1970 and left a decade or so later, it was a large oval brick structure that they played football on that was not in the discussions at the beginning of this session, but potentially could come up for a discussion sometime. Would that be something that a Board of Regents, for instance, would react to in time enough to make a decision to move forward, a potential decision? Do they have the ability to react to things of that magnitude that fast?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, I believe you're talking about the proposed Gopher Stadium. The Board of Regents has given their approval. The way that stadium is financed, it's that we would issue the bonds, and we're asking the state to contribute to the debt service. We're not asking for bonding from the state for that particular project. Last night was the first time we have seen a proposal where the state was asking us to do one-third debt service in any proposal from the legislature. All the way through the House hearings and through the various offers that had gone back and forth, it was fully funded. And as I said, I'd be happy as soon as the stadium debate over there is literally they're at the witness table. I'll bring the chief fiscal officer over, and we can have further discussions about that. This was a cursory conversation that I had this morning with him. Once we got your offer from last night at 10 o'clock at night that said a third of our we're expected to pick up a third of the debt service.
You know, a couple of things, just so, because I think there's going to be a couple more questions coming up, make it clear that, you know, if you ask questions, we can all be referring to the same document. The document we're working off of is the revised offer that we made to the Senate, just kind of a technical thing, just so everybody understands that. But Representative McNamara, let me just ask, this is a different way to think about this. We could have the university ask them if they oppose making a grant available to them, and then either the soybean growers or somebody else can either raise the money, or perhaps then the regents could take action and say, you know what, we'd have asked for that next year, let's kick in the one-third. I mean, so maybe there's middle ground here, or maybe we say, boy, because of the fiscal constraints we're in, we can't do it. But, I mean, maybe there's more than one way to try to get a funding bill passed.
Well, and Mr. Chair, just, and I didn't mean to pick on you, what my point was is I believe the Board of Regents, like our conference committee here and like our capital investment committee, has the ability to adapt to a situation that has really changed since your capital investment. And that was my only point, Mr. Chair, like we may adapt on different university projects as it moves forward. And if the right person's not here yet, I guess it would be inappropriate for me to drag this along any longer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there other questions relative to the University of Minnesota or the Minnesota Department of Agriculture relative to that?
Mr. Chair, of course, we very much would like to get this some kind of an agreement today. When I presented the one yesterday, the comments from the House side were that it was a very good proposal and they would take a look at it. I felt that there was a few things that probably would have to be done in addition to that proposal to make it work and to make it a proposal that both sides could approve. Talking to Representative Hausman, she had some suggestions. I would just like to present a proposal. This would build on the proposal we had yesterday.
Excuse me, Senator Lines, just to be clear, so if you make a, also reference the document we're working on so we understand what the changes would be, if you would, please.
Senate Proposal 880 is...
I understand that, Senator, but that's not the document that's in front of us, and so if you're...
You're putting it in front
of us. No, I'm sorry, we're working off this document right now. I clearly stated that 2 minutes ago, and so if you want to... If you want, I'm just saying, let's understand, you made a proposal, it was a great proposal, you made it in good faith. We have came back twice now with a proposal. We're not going to go back to your proposal. We're going to work off of this proposal. Next time you have the gavel, then you can work off your proposal.
Mr. Chair, I've got a new proposal.
Right.
I have got a new proposal, and I'm just simply going to explain how it compares to the last proposal so you know what the new proposal is.
Okay.
Okay. As compared to the last proposal, as far as the movement that the House, the Senate is willing to make, we will cut $10 million off HEPR from the University of Minnesota. We will cut $10 million off Minsky and HEPR. We will cut $1 million off system-wide land acquisition for a total cut in higher education of $21 million. What we would do with this money is we would fund some of the governor's initiatives that weren't fully funded in our proposal. It would add $3 million to the Zua Master Plan. It would add $13 million to the Kerbal Prison Plan, which goes to the governor's level, and so would the Zoo. It adds $5 million to the Bioscience Development, which apparently is a new request by the governor. He hasn't talked to me about it or anything, but it deals with the Medtronic proposal, and apparently the 17.9 isn't enough. So this is them spending $21 million of the governor's proposal that adds to $21 million to the governor's proposal that weren't in our bill. So that makes those whole. The one thing that this doesn't do is the additional $11 million for the forensic nursing home facility. We were at $1.6 million and still feel that is a sufficient amount to get us into next biennium. But in the Senate would then be willing to go that $11 million if the governor then would be willing to go to $891 million. If not, then our position would be the $1.6 million. So if you put this together with our proposal to make our new proposal, I think this does make more cuts, the $21 million more cuts in the Senate proposal than when we had previously. And as you know, we've already made substantial cuts. And then it does move that money to the governor's initiatives and makes three of them whole. And so that's our new proposal, and Mr. Chair, I would move that proposal.
Sure. Well, Senator, we don't have that before, so if you'd like to substitute that or make that motion to substitute it, we sure can. But the document, that's not the document we're working on. But just putting it snaggled up in technical things for a minute, I just have I want to talk about a couple of the changes between our offer and your offer and maybe get your thoughts on prioritizing it. I think the first difference I'd like to ask you to help me understand why rural Minnesota, to me, between those two offers, seems to take a disproportionate amount of the hits. For example, in our offer, we have a stronger number in rural infrastructure. You're suggesting a smaller number in rural infrastructure. And I realize in offers and proposals that have been on there, we've been all over. So help me understand why rural Minnesota wants to, that would be the first one, that if you could shed some light on there, Senator Langseth, it's his proposal.
Well, as you remember, we had a proposal coming into the conference committee, and you did. Your proposal was $5 million for rural infrastructure. What we have done is gone with the House proposal of $5 million in this proposal.
Sure.
So we have yielded to the House on this particular proposal. Obviously, I would prefer ours, but it doesn't fit in the 880. So we did go with the House position.
Senator, I think then we're going to go down that road that I think Senator Pappas highlighted earlier, then when Holman Field is in your position and you don't seem to want to take that position.
That's correct.
That's an interesting proposal. But then I say, you know, the TMDL grants, I think, were significantly larger in our bill, and you've cut them up. But we'll continue to go down this, but I'm going to examine what I think I want to make
clear before I would ever be ready to vote is the differences between what you have proposed and what we have proposed. And I want to look particularly at the balance in that between rural Minnesota and the metropolitan area. And Senator Pappas wishes to speak, and I better recognize her. Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
If we all need to stay calm here today.
Yes, we do.
We'd like to get this bill done.
I agree.
And I think that I feel like the chairman is kind of acting like we have weeks and weeks for further discussion and further debate. Why don't we just vote on this proposal and go home for Easter?
Right. Senator, I guess that would be convenient, I guess, to vote on a proposal that I look at from my little view of the world is being very anti-rural and not examine it. But, okay. Senator, I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. If the other conferees want to do that, that's fine. I'm just one of five, Senator.
I'm just one of five.
But we're going to talk about rural Minnesota for a while.
Mr. Chair, let's do that. Let's look at this proposal in Minsky compared to the House proposal. Most of Minsky is in rural Minnesota. You're making very, very substantial cuts in Minsky, and we are making only $11 million worth of cuts in Minsky. I think that is the heart of our whole bill, is higher education, and it isn't just Minsky that's doing very well in rural Minnesota this year. It's the University of Minnesota. Normally, the University of Minnesota will have probably one project in the branches of the university. This time it has three. It has two very major projects for UMD at Duluth, and it has one very major project in Morris. So the University of Minnesota is far more rural than it normally is, plus the fact that an awful lot of the university at the metropolitan campus deals with rural Minnesota in research and so on. So if you take the higher ed, it tilts much, much heavier to rural Minnesota than normally would be the case in any other year, partly because the stars just line up for those three projects. But to make it sound like your proposal somehow is better for rural Minnesota, you're just totally disregarding the fact that you're taking all this money out of Minsky. And when it comes to many of these other positions, I mean, we, as far as rural infrastructure is concerned, obviously we felt that it should go higher, but we went with the House position. So please don't criticize us for going with the House position. I just don't think that really is a very genuine...
Well, then, Senator, I would suggest that maybe we, Senator Pappas, should back up on her comments on home and field. I'm going to owe Representative Solberg a quarter because you can't have it both ways. If I can't say, you know, we'd like to remember, I'm not sure how that works, that all of a sudden we can't talk about that. So, with all due respect, Senator, you can't have it both ways. And you can make interesting comments, but I've got a lot of time.
Holman Field has absolutely nothing to do with funding for rural Minnesota. You know that, and I know that.
Senator, I do know that, but I am just saying that you cannot... Well, and I guess you can. I just thought we'd want to be consistent in logic on the Senate side, but...
Representative Dorman?
Nothing.
Maybe you need to think about our offer.
Sure.
Because I don't want us to get antagonistic toward each other again.
Uh-huh. Right. I'm not going to get antagonistic
really
from
trying
my
to resolve
side.
This
right. Today. And what I'm saying is let's take a look at the offer. That's all I'm saying. I want to understand the differences in the offer. I find personally, I can only speak for myself, not the other four conferees. And I didn't say it publicly yesterday because I thought we would come back and work on something. And so I thought, you know, let me go back and work with the House conferees and see if we could come up with a better proposal. So I didn't have to publicly come out and say, boy, rural Minnesota just took it in the shorts in this proposal. Not my choice to do Senator Pappas. However, given the current situation, I would be derelict in my duties not to point that out. And so at the end of the day, we'll vote on it. I'm happy to do that. But just as Senator Langsworth last night pointed out what he saw the deficiencies were in my proposal, I hope you're not saying that I wouldn't have that same opportunity to comment on the deficiencies in yours.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Langsworth.
I'd like to also mention that, let's take the CREP program, for example, $23 million. That's a 4-to-1 federal match. There will be more than $100 million spent in rural Minnesota because of that one program. Let's take the Mayo Rochester, for example, rural Minnesota. It's over $20 million. If you look at this bill, my concern, since we're both rural chairs, was that we would be criticized for it being too rural. It is. It does tilt to the rural side, but it's because the stars happen to line up that way. The CREP program came this year. The Rochester program came this year. But you just look at that front page and figure out what goes into rural Minnesota and what goes into metropolitan Minnesota. It is obviously tilted to the rural Minnesota, and I think this is just one more attempt to give an excuse not to have a bill now. Because this proposal, this proposal tilts to rural Minnesota, I will have to admit. And I'm not going to apologize for it, because there are other years it tilts to metropolitan Minnesota based upon just the programs and so on. But anybody who, and I would recommend anybody in the audience, read this bill and then tell me it's anti-rural Minnesota. It's very, very pro-rural Minnesota.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dorman, I don't think we need to have this argument. It's just a distraction from getting our job done. Let's just get our job done.
Mr. Chair?
Sure, thank you. Are you saying that we don't have the opportunity to talk about it? We should just go in a back room and cut a deal and vote on it? Or is that what you're saying? I'm unwilling to do that, to go in a back room and cut it. Maybe that's the difference between, like you said, the old and the new the other day. You know, you're kind of a back room person, and I'm not. I prefer to do it in public.
Mr. Chairman, everyone in the room wants us to go in the back room and cut the deal.
That could be.
So they can go home.
Yeah. That could be, Senator. And you know what? If I put out a proposal like this, I wouldn't want to talk about it either. But Representative Braun.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And being the newer member, I suppose, on the committee, I just find it really interesting and somewhat amusing that we flippantly talk about backroom deals as something that's much better to an open governmental process that brings people in. And I just think that's an interesting thing, and I think maybe the new perspective is an interesting and good perspective in regards to actually discussing them in a manner that moves them forward. When I look at the place that we started, the Senate yesterday came forward with a absolutely fair and reasonable bill at 880, and we were all moving forward in the same direction. We had some differences. We talked about those differences. Different philosophies, things like that. But what you are doing now is going backwards. I often hear, the people of Minnesota have voted. We hear that from the other side of the aisle in the House. We hear it from the Senate. The people of Minnesota have voted. Well, you know what? They have. They absolutely have, and they want us to get the job done. We had a direction we were going that was, I thought, actually, we were pretty doggone close. And I sensed the Senate backing away from where we were at, which was 880. You brought an 880 proposal forward in very good faith, and I want to keep that good faith. I guess I'm seeing somebody shake their head when I talk about good faith, but I find that interesting. But there was a great proposal out there. We have some differences. Let's talk about the differences. And, Mr. Chair, I just have a procedural question.
Sure.
We have one bill that we're working off of, and I think we kind of muddy the water and confuse the situation when we've had four House proposals or five House proposals and now two Senate proposals formally. Mr. Chair, can I just understand the procedures of, we have one bill before us. How do we then jump to other bills and work off those bills when we really have something before us that we really should be discussing and comparing things to that document? Mr. Chair, could you just explain that for me, being one of the newer members here?
Well, Representative Broad, and then we have on the list McNamara, Hausman, and Senator Langseth.
the procedure would be this, and that's why when I thought we first came and I asked Senator Langsethy, I understood, and it was my error, I was wrong, that he had a proposal, and I was wrong, he wasn't sure who had it, or, and that's fine. And so what I thought I would do then, so we didn't have that same problem, because I noticed a couple times people have been wondering what sheets you're working on. And so during the presentation of the University of Minnesota and the Department of Ag, I made it clear that we were going to work today from this document. And so when Senator Langseth talked about, had a proposal that was handed out here, I'm asking him to somehow put that into this framework. But I think what will be very helpful in what nonpartisan staff has went to do is to provide a spreadsheet with both those proposals actually on one, so we can at least look at them. But we are working, Representative Broad, today from this document. But then we can try to understand where we're at better. And I am with you, Representative Broad. I think we do much better work as a body and as a legislature when we meet more often and have a discussion here. And I know it's easier, it's more expedient to go cut a deal in the back room, but I also hear from the constituents, and not necessarily the lobbyists, Senator Pappas, that they're a little bit tired of us doing that. Now, maybe your constituents don't tell you that, and that's fine. I'm just telling you what I hear from my constituents, and Representative Broad, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have one more procedural question. Did you, when you put the bill before us, did you move that bill?
Representative Broad, I didn't move it, but I don't know that it needs to be required. I think it would be in the discretion of the chair to state this is the document from which we are working, and that is why I did indeed say that. So if it helps to move it, I guess I could, but I don't know that it's necessary. But if it makes it cleaner, sure. Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I apologize. Sometimes my 3 years in the legislature shows, and I don't quite am not able to follow all of the protocol of being here for decades and understanding wanting to go into a back room and get things done. So sometimes it's my naivety that comes out and being passionate about wanting to get a deal done before Easter. Maybe sometimes it's my freshmanitis or something. But the Senate yesterday, last night, raised concerns about four or five projects. We countered offered them. We had an offer on the table last night in writing. You brought it forward, Mr. Chair. I thank you for that. They came back verbally, and I can appreciate that, timing constraints and stuff. The Senate came back with about five legitimate concerns, and we came back this morning with a written proposal to offer them. They have not come forward with a written proposal back to us, but they've asked about some concerns. And those concerns are they're willing to lower their HEPR number down at the University of Minnesota to the same number in our bill. They're willing to lower their MNSCU number almost to the same number in our bill. They now, the system-wide land acquisition, they're willing to lower down close to the number we have. They want to put more money in the zoo. We've already done that. They want to put more money in Faribault prison expansion. They have done that. They want to reach out to the BioSense science development because, again, in our flexibility to meet the desires of Medtronic and 2,000, fantastic job, folks. This is what this is about. This is about doing the state of Minnesota's business. We're going to bring 2,000 jobs to pay $60,000 a year to the state of Minnesota. That's what this is about. 10,000 construction jobs building buildings. We have reached out to them in every avenue. They have told us they've got concerns. Fort Crosby, Red Lake, flood mitigation. We are meeting them. And I guess if they want to bring another one forward, they're concerned about wondering if the bio facility is legitimate. Mr. Chair, good questions. We don't want to waste our money, but we need to protect this devastating possibility. And I think you've done that in a good way and tried. I understand their concerns, but your bill, Mr. Chair, meets all of those unbelievably well and gets it done before Easter. And I again commend you, and your ability to adapt to their concerns and move forward is just tremendous. And I'm just so glad that the senators are seeing this great bill and willing to work with us to get this done before Easter. We can come back and do language after Easter, and every one of us, no matter what reaches of Minnesota we belong to, will be able to go home and face a construction worker in Rochester or an electrician unemployed in Cottage Grove and say, you know what? We got 10,000 construction jobs. We got the possibility of 2,000 jobs from Medtronics. We are going to do the flood mitigation along the Red River to the full extent, $27 million. This is exactly what they told us last fall when the people on this side of the aisle were door knocking. Get your business done, or as Senator Stengem said, we'll find somebody that can do the work.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And that's why I thought it was important not to move this document, but rather to put it before us as something to work from so that, you know, we don't break down in a procedural logjam and end up looking like, you know, what's going on. And so I think we're better off trying to discuss it in public and seeing if we can't achieve something working from this document. And so I appreciate your words. Next on the list is Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This reminds me of our second meeting when I think both sides put spreadsheets on the table, and we frequently went back and forth discussing the two spreadsheets. I'll tell you, in this case, I am just a member who has some suggestions. 10 people working together in good faith and in public. Having the opportunity to listen to one another and others for some time now, and I had some suggestions, and unfortunately, as these things sometimes go, there was a little misunderstanding about a perceived conversation in the hallway, and so I think we maybe got off on the wrong foot, but here's what I thought. As a member of the conference committee, who has been sitting through this, who's listened very carefully to, I've had also the good fortune to hear some of the negotiations between the governor's office and the speaker because I'm on the House Conference Committee. And in the spirit of compromise and negotiation back and forth, here's how I thought it was working. The Senate preferred a larger bill. The House came back and said, we are going to insist on 880. So the Senate came back with an 880 bill. I mean, and on each one of these, this is a logical response. So in good faith, what would the next step be? Perhaps to take that 880 proposal, because the Senate has now come down hundreds of millions, I don't know, and have put something on the table. Now, I've also listened to the House, to the governor, to others, and there were some very real concerns with it that were the stumbling blocks, and they were the prison and the zoo and the terrible prison, what was the, bioscience. And so I looked at that 880 and said, is there a way that we start with this and we make Senator Langseth cut some more? We're going to make him cut another $21 million. And that allows us to almost fully fund these really substantial and valuable projects that the governor values, that the House values, as a way of beginning to just get, in my opinion, that's not a final bill. We are trying to break the logjam. I think I read a quote of yours, Representative Dorman, in the newspaper, that you are a strong believer in breaking the logjam, and you are a firm believer in having a bill. And in literally, I have to tell you, good spirit of 10 people working together, I'm making these observations. There is the one additional piece that still would require a decision on the part of the governor. He has several ways of dealing with the forensic nursing issue. Either to the 880 bill has the study language in it, which allows some time to make sure that we're making good decisions, and we could even say study for the purpose of establishing a site at Agua Ching, if that's a negotiating stumbling block. Or if he was ready to he decided to really fully fund that, he would have the opportunity to increase the limits of the bill by $11 million. That was an idea I had. We can go on arguing about which piece of paper we have in front of us. We can go on recessing. I've heard kind of a spirit of wanting a good public discussion of ideas, a public, out in the open, fresh airing of a way to get to a final bill. We do have that opportunity in this meeting.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair. Representative Hausman, I appreciate that, and I do appreciate what you said about two spreadsheets, which is why I thought it was helpful to work from at least one per day. Rather than getting two out there, it does seem to maybe everybody else can follow it. I just had a harder time following it, and so that's why I thought it was important that we work from one document. Senator Langsa.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, I think the Senate obviously is going to work from the Senate document, and the House is going to work from the House document. That's natural. As far as the difference in the two bills, we have a $21 million cut in higher education, and you have a $49 million cut. That obviously is our biggest objection. Now, Representative had said that we were moving away from our position. We are adding to the position, because the position we had to stay within the 880 did not fund fully some of the governor's proposals. Now, at that time, when I made that proposal, we had made a formal decision to do the Senate position on higher ed. So I fit it within that. That obviously was a squeeze. To put the final bill together, we felt that we could pull back some on the higher ed to fund the things that my proposal had not funded. And that's where we come up with the money for doing the governor's proposal on zoo, the governor's proposal on Fairbanks Prison, and the extra money that the governor wanted bioscience. So it moved to his, it funded, fully funded those proposals of his. So to say that this is moving away from a conclusion is totally wrong. It was filling in some of the problems that there would have been seen, at least from the governor's perspective. And so on the one hand, we cut, and on the other hand, we cut what was our proposal and took that money and gave it to the governor's proposals to fully fund them. So that is very definitely moving in the direction. And I think, you know, if people weren't caught up in this thing politically, they would say this is the middle position. It's a middle position between the House and the Senate, between the governor. And I guess I don't see, I'm sure you could pick out some things that we didn't fund that you would want, or some things we did fund that you don't want. But this, I think, is very much a middle ground position. Obviously, we are not going to go with a $49 million cut in higher education. We are not. The $21 million it's doable. And we are yielding to virtually all of the things that the governor wants and fully funding them. With that one exception, we still think that the planning is the right way to go there, but if the governor thinks he's got to go full board, fine. We'll go to 891. We don't have a problem with that. So that is our proposal. Now, neither proposal is on the table at the present time. They're being discussed. There's a Senate proposal, there's a House proposal. There has not been a motion, except the one I made, to move the Senate proposal with the additional cuts and the additional funding. So that is before us now as a motion, and I call the question.
Sure. Well,
roll call vote.
Oh, but let's have a roll call vote, and this is where you're right, Representative Hollis. Unfortunately, it does seem like we're moving back to that second meeting where we're going to, rather than have discussions about the differences in the bill, if you could, to vote no on it, and then we'll continue discussions. I am not going to flip around and ask for a roll call vote on our proposal. I don't think that would help get the ball rolling. So if I understand the Langseth proposal, he would take the documents that he called Conference Committee Senate Proposal, $880 million, dated 3-22-05, as amended with the what is referred to as the Hausman proposal, And I'll even not walk through the differences because I just don't think that also helps us get anywhere to just spat back and forth, going back to what Senator Pappas has said. I don't think that would be helpful at this time. So I would suggest that we just vote it down, and then we'll move forward. So, Mr. Coe.
Dorman.
No.
McNamara.
No.
Broad.
No.
Hausman.
Yes.
Murphy.
No.
Langseth.
Yes.
Hetson. Pappas.
Yes.
Dill.
Yes.
Senjum.
Yes.
Who announced the vote first? I'd like to mention, but he's not there. Scorecard would have only two affirmative on the House side and three negative. On the Senate side, we have one abstention one abstention by Senator Metzen, and we have four ayes. However, we can't move forward since there's not a majority. Am I miscounting?
Yes.
What did I say? Four noes, four to one, and four to absent. And so, unfortunately, Senator, that was not adopted.
Mr. Chair,
Representative McNamara sought the recognition first, Senator.
Thank you,
Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, I would like to bring our document to the forefront again. A terrific document. We have been the one that have presented the last two written documents. It's the one we're working off of. I would ask the Senate to let us know. We've made some changes. We've reached out. We include partial funding for the volleyball court, important to Senator Senjum and Representative Welty, who both represent the district where it is. Fort Crosby Park, we reached out to Senator Metzen there. We reached out to Senator Dill with the bioscience possibility. And we've reached out to Senator Langseth to fully fund the flood mitigation. We reached out to Senator Pappas' concern about Red Lake and funded it to the level that it's my understanding we can do it. And I think we're here to do the public's business in public, and if they have concerns with the bill before us, continue to have concerns, I think they should bring them forward and let us know what you want to deduct and what you want to add. We've already agreed on 880, and I commend the Senator again for coming forward and agreeing to do 880. This is the bill before us. Let's work off of it. And they can let us know what they want to add or deduct. I think we've met every one of their concerns so far, or have tried to. Can we meet everybody's concerns? There's some people in the room that aren't going to be happy, but let us know what you want, and I think we could get a bill here 10-0.
I agree. Thank you. Senator Langseth, and then Representative Hausman. Senator Langseth.
Mr. Chair, obviously the big difference is in higher education. One of the first nights we met here, we went with pretty much full funding for higher education with a 10-0 vote. Now, obviously, we knew when we did that we, by the time we put the bill together, we'd probably slack off a little bit, but our proposal slacks off $21 million, yours slacks off $49 million. We just find that $49 million cut way, way too excessive to have a balanced bill. So somehow, I mean, there's $28 million difference there. And that's, to us, that's unacceptable.
Well, if I hear what both of you are saying, let's see then, Senator, if working together we can find places that we can all agree to move that onto the higher ed page. I believe that's what I hear Representative McNamara saying. Let's then work as 10 people and find out from this document what it is that we can take and put into higher ed, and then where into higher ed, because with the exception of two projects and inflation, I think, and I don't know exactly where your proposal, your last one was, but with the exception of a difference in the amount of inflation in two projects, I think we're both talking about the HEPA, which is also critically important. So I think it was Representative Hausman, somebody that suggested that, you know, maybe that's what we do, is we look at it. And so today we've got this before us. I'm not going to just try to cram it down anybody's throat and say, boy, vote. I legitimately think that we should work through the document, see seeing if we can find places to change it that meets all our needs, and that would require some additions and subtractions, and I think that we ought to at least try that. Representative Broad and then Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And when we look at the higher education proposal that we have before us, we keep talking about cuts. But when you look at what was passed off the House floor, we passed off a proposal of $154 million, and we're coming up $40 million on top of that. So the House has moved in terms of higher education, showing a strong commitment and priority in that area. We do have a large higher education commitment in all the bills, including the one that's before us here today that the Chair has put forward. So I just want to make that clarification. And Mr. Chair, I've heard a couple times Representative Housen said, well, the Senate has come down all this way, but what we're talking about, let's get the numbers straight and back to the base numbers. We're talking about 880. The Senate had essentially has come down $95 million off of their GO. The House has come up $100 million. Now, I guess I'm not sure how that's unfair. That's a balance, and it's kind of a middle ground that we have before us here today, Mr. Chair. And I guess I just wanted to make those clarifications when we're talking about the numbers. We're talking about GO, and it's pretty doggone fair.
Thank you. Senator Pappas and then Representative Hausman. Senator Pappas.
Representative, it's not helpful for us to go back and rehash old stuff. It's more productive if we move forward. And the way it works is you offer a proposal, and then we respond with a proposal, and then you respond. So we really should be working off the most recent offer, which is our offer. We've cut in different areas to respond to your concerns. Now you're supposed to respond to our proposal with areas in which you feel that you can move toward our position.
Right. And again, Senator, thanks for the lesson.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. I know I don't have the years of experience that you have, and you pointed that out several times, and I sure appreciate it. But
Dorman,
we just voted your proposal down, Senator Pappas.
Representative Dorman, the problem with working in public is when people continue to rehash old stuff and make speeches. If we could talk honestly about how we want to move from this place to get a finished product, I think it'd be more productive. When people have questions about different projects and why you're funding it at a certain level and we're funding it at another level, then, you know, we bring people from the audience to discuss those things.
Correct.
Procedural.
And so the most recent proposal isn't actually yours because we voted it down, Senator. It was a split vote. You know, it voted up here and voted down here, and so that one's off the table, and now we're back to working on this document.
No, you come forward with your proposal, and
okay,
we'll vote it down.
Right.
So come forward with another.
I haven't moved our proposal, and what I didn't think was helpful, because what you want to go back into is the position that we were in the other night, and I think I represented a housing. It didn't work too well, Senator. It didn't get us anywhere.
Representative, Mr. Chairman, except both Representative McNamara and Representative Broad said it was a wonderful and a fair proposal, and we came down to 880. But that's old business. I don't want you to drag me back into old business. Let's just move forward.
And Senator, with all due respect, that's what I'm trying to do. You have a preference for getting things done and not wanting to discuss it in public. I have a preference for wanting to discuss it
old
in
business.
Public.
We've made the decision now to discuss it in public. Let's discuss it in public.
That's great. Then let's discuss it. I think we're on the same page then, I believe.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I
have a procedural question.
Yes.
I'm getting confused again, and I'm apologizing.
That's why I'm trying to work off one document.
Well,
I'm like you, get confused too.
And we've been working off of this document for a while. It's the same one we had last night. I thought I asked the Senate if they had any changes to this document that they wanted to make, keeping within the constraints that both of us have agreed to of 880. Senator Pappas, if you have,
this
is our document that we're working off of. If you have a proposal to make a change to this document, can you please let me know what you want to change?
Representative McNamara, Mr. Chairman,
it's
the same document.
Let me define it. It's
just have different numbers.
Right. Right. Yes. She's saying that if we're going to do that, we're supposed to work from their proposal and not our proposal. I mean, that's really what we're sort of both saying. And there's really, you know, reasons why it makes it harder to move up or down from one or the other. And I think I'm beginning to understand why. I'm slow, but I get it.
Again,
eventually. I don't have the years of experience. I think we have Representative Hausman and then Senator Senja.
I'm responding to your direction. I'm
Thank
looking
you,
up
Representative
your document.
Hausman.
And you, what I think you wanted us to do was take respond to it. And the line I would like to just talk a little bit about is line 262 Metro Regional Parks. I think your belief is that this is a very good document for rural Minnesota, and I agree with you, and I support that. And so that line, because it is already a very good document for rural Minnesota, that particular line troubles me. And the solution has usually been to take it from other metropolitan projects to increase it. But since it's already a very good bill for rural Minnesota, I wonder if we have another solution for that. That would be one of my issues. If we're having a discussion,
right? About this. No, let's start with that discussion. I think that would be productive, Representative Hausman. What do you think in trying to strike a balance? What do you think we should try to? Where would you like to try to? Obviously, probably $7 million is the answer. Is that the only acceptable answer, or is there something in between? And then the second part of that is: Do you also have a suggestion, or does anyone else have a suggestion where you'd like to get that money from? But I appreciate and applaud them. And I think we have someone that maybe has a partial solution, Senator. And it does seem like as we stay and talk about it, people do have solutions that they want to possibly bring forward, and then possibly not either, looking at some of the blank stares in the room. And that's fine if no one wants to come forward. But all right. I'm sorry, Representative Hausman.
Oh, I'm finished. I thought you just wanted us, right? I heard you asking us to look at.
Yep, and so let's look at that line.
So I'm just raising that if we're having a.
Yep, and so let's discuss that. And what I ask is, what number do you want to try to get to there? And let's maybe take it that way first. What number do you think?
Well, first,
trying to keep it.
My preference is $7 million.
Trying to keep it in the balance. Do you think we can get that $7 million somehow and keep it balanced?
We'll put that on the table as one of the issues.
And then the second part of that then, Senator, where would you change the document from to keep it in balance?
I'll take a look at that.
Okay, I'll wait. Well, if anyone else has a suggestion, you know. Representative Hausman, excuse me, would you mind if I moved on to Senator Dill for a moment?
Or if I had to do it just off the top of my head, I'd say, well, the zoo, if you're telling me I have to choose.
Right. Okay. And as long as you think it's a document. Keep in mind we want to try to get the bill passed. But yeah. Sure.
And then once we know what the issues are, to say how will we solve that?
Right, Senator.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to agree with Representative Broad one more time. You know, I like doing this work in the open. I'm in favor of that. So this environment is fine with me. Now, what I'd like to do is look at the front page of this document. Either document doesn't matter. But we had agreed unanimously to leave the front page untouched in terms of cuts. And that's not what happened later on. And we had, at least I had agreed, or I had assumed that we accept the front page, we accept these numbers, and we're free to go back and readjust them later, which is what we're doing, and that's fine. But I'm just wondering if we could maybe, as a starter, decide how much we're going to reduce the front page by.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think that, and that's a very good suggestion, Senator.
I'm making it.
Senator Hauser's working on something, but yeah.
I know how it is for men. It's hard to do more than one thing at one time. When you got a woman whispering in your ear on one side, I'm not sure you're listening to me in the other ear.
Right.
So.
And they both don't work very well sometimes.
I know, it doesn't work very well for us. So. But anyway, I'm just wondering if we could decide how much we're going to reduce the front page by, just as a starter.
Sure.
And we got it reduced, I mean, original proposal by zero, and you've reduced it by, I forgot what it was, 49 million?
Right.
And this, yeah.
Mr. Wall.
And then we have another proposal here that Senator Langstedt has to reduce it by 21 million.
Right.
And maybe there's some compromise there that we can come to, decide how much money we got. We're going to cut off the front page and then decide where we're going to put it. But just start, you know, just start there.
Well, from the document we're working on, Representative Wall, I promoted you. Mr. Walls, if you would be so kind as to try to keep score, if you could, as we're going along, and let me know, I won't obviously hold you to it, but right now that what we are proposing, and I like what Representative Hausman is suggesting, Representative Hausman has suggested we need to find an additional $3.5 million somewhere in the document and put it over into the Met Council area. And so what I hear you say, Senator, is you want to at least say we don't want to make all of these cuts. We think it's too many, and so if I understand, you're going to suggest a number to put back on the front page, and that's maybe not a bad way to work through it, and then we have to go back through and figure out how to bring it into balance. It may take a little more time, but I think it's a good idea.
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dill, we cut our front page $21 million, and the $7 million is in our proposal. We do not need to cut below $21 million to get the 7, because the 7 is there and the 21 is there.
Right. Unfortunately, and not to be a stickler, but we're working from a different document, and so
if you want to do the math and suggest the addition,
that's fine.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator, please.
My understanding is that the proposal that you have before us cuts the front page about $49 million. And Senator Langstedt, my understanding is that our document that we brought forward yesterday doesn't cut the front page at all, does it? But today we have the $21 million proposal to cut the front page at 21, which has been rejected. We still have that proposal.
Mm-hmm.
So we're proposing to cut the front page by $21 million. They're proposing to cut it by $49 million to free up money to put on the other pages. And so I'm just wondering, as a starting point, if we just maybe compromise on the front page, we won't do 20. They won't agree to 21, and we won't agree to 49. But is there something in between we can agree to?
Senator, I think the difference, Senator Dill, unless my math is bad, but in GO numbers, the difference between the proposal that is before us and the proposal of yesterday that you put forward, GO numbers now is $27 million in GO. Would be larger than that in projects because, as you know, you got the one-third, two-third, and you take it from HEPRA. But the difference between the two proposals of which you speak is $27 million. Senator Langston.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't see why we should come down more on higher ed to fund a deficiency on your proposals, mm-hmm. Metropolitan Parks. Under our proposal, the $21 million in cut funds the Metro Parks at $7 million.
Senator, and you're highlighting again why I think it's helpful just to work from one sheet, and where I know you'd like to work from your document, sir, but that was voted down. We are working from this document. What Senator Dill is saying is that our cuts are excessive in his view, and he wants to add to that number, which then just means we've got to find some more money somewhere else in order to pay for it. So what I think I heard Senator Dill say is I'd like to find the middle ground, and unless someone tells me I'm wrong on my calculations, the middle ground is $13.5 million, and so I'm kind of keeping a rough score that we've got to find $3.5 million to accommodate Representative Hausman and $13.5 million for what you're suggesting. Senator Pappas, I think, was indicating that maybe isn't quite enough yet. I believe if I'm reading her nonverbal language, but maybe I don't get that.
Representative Dorman.
Senator Pappas.
Representative Dorman.
to get beyond this, what sheet we're working on, I thought you said the nonpartisan staff were putting together a comparison of both latest proposals.
Yes.
No, we don't.
No.
Well, yeah, would you like a copy of it? I mean, it's just so I can keep it straight in my head. We can get you a copy of it, but that's not the document that we're working from. We're going to work from one document because we already saw the back and forth that happened because we started trying to blend two of them, and it doesn't work. And so that seemed to break down the other day, and so I thought Representative Hausman was on the right track, and if we add them all up and then find the money later, I'm okay with that. And if you want to have them both on one page so you can see them, that's all right with me too, Senator. But we're going to work from one document. That's the only way.
Mr. Chair, we basically don't have any document before us. Your document has not been voted on, and I would move that your proposal be voted on with a roll call vote.
Okay. I'm not sure this helps us, but Senator, if it makes you feel better, by golly, let's
to the motion. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really think that we need to talk about our bill and how we've reached out to the Senate. Again, I'm going to go back, and I apologize to the audience and to the people of Minnesota if this is they're hearing the same thing over again. But really, from somebody that spent 28 years in private business and is used to moving forward and working, as everybody knows, we started at $780 million. The Senate started at $975. I commend them. They came together, and they reached out at $880. Commendable, and we thanked them yesterday for that, and they brought a written proposal forward. And then we came back with a written proposal to them, and they had some verbal concerns last night, and we addressed those concerns. You came this morning again with some concerns on your sheet. Actually, it was Representative Hausman's concerns. They're basically all met. We have our document before us. We've asked you about your concerns, if you have any concerns to our bill. We have reached out, as we all have said, to each one of the senators in their individual concerns of what they wanted. And I've already identified each one of those concerns. I will not do that again. But I am asking you, if you have concerns in this bill that meets halfway, that puts our people to work, let us know your concerns. We've already agreed to balance it. We don't need to talk about, you know, we wish higher ed had more. I'm a first-generation college student. You don't think I know the value of college education? It made me where I am today. This is the biggest Minsky bonding bill ever. This is a terrific bonding bill. It's a terrific bill for the environment. This is a terrific bill all the way across. Supportive housing. This is an awesome bill. This is unbelievable. Corrections? You know the problem we have in corrections today? We are dealing with this fully funding it, Mr. Chair. The right way to do it. We're not piecemealing it and going to make it double-phased. Should we have more for Metro Parks? Yes. There's a lot of things we're going to need more for in the future. This is a terrific bill. If you want to modify it a little bit, I could understand that. You know, to say, well, we want more and more. We've already agreed on 880. I commend you for that. We have reached out to your concerns. We've got this bill forward. It's the bill before us. I think it's a great bill. I just, to vote no now and to tell Minnesota, we don't want this bill before Easter. We've included 5.5% inflation because we're only 9 months away from where it would have happened last year. We've met it. We are funding every single Minsky project on here except for one in Representative Pennis's district, a Republican. And if, you know what? It's really bipartisan. Actually, she has a Democrat senator, if I remember right. And then we scale back another project that has a Democrat representative and a Republican senator. So when Minnesota looks at us and says, what did you do? Well, we scaled back a couple projects, but it was in a bipartisan way that we reached out. And how anybody could look at this and say, we haven't done the state's business. Senator Senjum, when you go home to that contractor, construction worker, and he calls you on the phone, I think I know what you want to let him know. And we got more action going on down in Rochester. We got Minsky projects. We got volleyball. We got bioscience. We got CREP. We got WMAs. What is it you want to do? You want to work? You want to play? You want to go to the planetarium? You can drive to Minneapolis and go to the planetarium. This is unbelievable. Exactly what we were sent here to do. Thank you.
Thank you. And a couple things, and I don't know what you want to do first, but if I understood what Senator Langs had said, he made a motion and it was asked about a calling of the question. I'm about to call for a vote on whether or not we should call the question, which is allowable under the rules. But would you let Senator Sengen speak first? And I'll give it up to you.
Sure.
I don't want to stop the roll call vote if you want it.
Just a couple Senator questions, Mr. Chair. First of all, if we're going to vote on this document in relative to the Amateur Sports Commission. And I don't know if you want to do this by vote or just by chair consent, but if we could, what I'd like to do is leave $100,000 in amateur sports and move $1.5 back into OEA.
Sure. Senator, I think that when we get back to the document, if we do, I hope that we do, that'll be the first order of business.
We're going to vote on it.
We're going to vote on whether or not to call the question.
Okay.
And if the calling of the question doesn't... I know you don't like this, but and I apologize for that. But what as I understand the rules say is I have the ability to ask the members if they want the question called, if they wish to continue the discussion. Senator Langstroth is saying, no, I just want to vote and go to something else. I'm trying to say, let's not vote and go to something else. Let's stay and see if we can get the people's work done. And if we can, then I would suggest the first thing we do is accommodate Senator Sengen. But so I want to keep working and the correct vote on keeping working from my view would be to have a no vote on whether or not it's time to call the question, and otherwise we'll call a question and vote. I just do not vote yet. Obviously, the document is nowhere near to being something that would positively pass out of the committee, and so I'm going to keep working, Senator, even though I know some folks have commitments, and so I still want to try to get this done, so I'm not going to continue to yammer, Representative Braun.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a procedural question. I don't recall hearing Representative McNamara formally moving the bill. The bill we have before us is just, he's calling the question, but on what, Mr. Chair? Maybe you can just help me out here.
The clarification is good. And if I'm incorrect, Senator Langstroth has moved the bill and called the question. I'm going to ask for a vote on the second half of that, which is calling the question. I don't think the bill is ready to be voted on.
Mr. Chair, the reason I did that was because you were insisting upon working off only your proposal and not our proposal, because you said our proposal has been voted down. I'm confident yours will be voted down, but I will withdraw the motion if the Senate is allowed to work off their proposal, and you can work off your proposal. But I am not going to cut money in Minsky on our proposal to fund the deficiency in your proposal. I can tell you that.
And that's fine. I appreciate that.
I'll withdraw my motion.
All I'm saying is work off whatever documents that you can work off of. I think that's great. The only document that we're formally working off of is the House proposal, from which so far we were at Representative Hausman saying we need to come up with another $3.5 million for Metro Parks. Senator Sengen wants to make a change, but before we do that, we'll let Senator Pappas speak.
Mr. Chairman, the reason Senator, I asked for if we could have a comparison document.
It's coming out.
I'm trying to figure out where the House is spending another $28 million.
Correct.
You are proposing to cut 49 from Minsky. We're proposing to cut 21 from Minsky. Mm-hmm. Where are you spending that other $28 million?
Sure.
If we could figure that out, maybe we could find that money somewhere else. We would have to take it from Minsky.
I agree, Senator. And so, I'm sorry that we're not going to kill another tree and make these documents available for everybody, but all the conferees and staff will have that side-by-side comparison. There are things just off the top of my head. Port Crosby, I think, was one of them.
Where you're spending money.
Correct.
And we're not.
From which document? So what we're saying is, from our original proposal, we took money from higher ed and put it to Port Crosby.
Where are you spending it?
Port Crosby. That was one of them.
No,
great rural Minnesota infrastructure.
Otherwise, it just doesn't work.
I'm sorry that what doesn't work for you. I appreciate that and understand that. But
all right, I'll just figure it out myself.
That'd be good. Thank you. Okay, now, we've got the $3.5 million for Metro Parks. I think that, and I want to call Mr. Wall so I understand and everyone understands the differences in the higher ed. But first, I'm okay personally with the change that Senator Senjum is proposing to make to the document, which would leave $100,000 in the Rochester Rec Center under the Rochester Volleyball Center under the Amateur Sports Commission, and he is suggesting to take the, is it 1.5 million and move that back over to the CAP account for the Olmsted County burner. Is that correct, Senator?
That's correct.
Mr. Chair, and then that would only be changing your proposal.
That's correct. And for your, you know, I'm not going to go down. That's, if you, you know, you and your staff can work on that change from your proposal, that's absolutely fine. And so the motion that Senator Senjum has made, which I think is a good one, is to, I misunderstood what he said, and so I kind of got him into the box, and is to make that change. I think we'll just do that unless somebody objects to it. If that is a good way to work in order to save time, unless someone is against it. Right.
Mr. Chair, I believe there's a technical problem. Nobody has moved this document,
correct?
So the document can't officially be amended. I think the suggestion is proper at this point.
And what I said, Senator, unless someone has an objection, that we just agree to do it. Right now, we're not taking any formal action at all. We are working, as Senator Hausman or Representative Hausman suggested, as a group of 10 people to try to figure out where we change this document to see if at the end of the day we can have an agreement. So hearing no objections, I suggest that we accommodate Senator Senjum, and so then we're back to trying to find money for Metro Parks and trying to get a clarification on how much the difference is in the two bills in GEO dollars, because we have to end up at 880, and to go back to what Senator Dill wanted to do is find out where that was, if it's at the full Senate or somewhere in between. And so
Mr. Chair, you know, I think there was a confusion. I was confused about the cuts in higher education. Since our 20 of our $21 million worth of cuts were in HEPR, that was $21 million in the GO. But when it comes to your cuts, as far as the total projects are concerned, which would include the one-third, come to $62 million. So as far as total projects on the front page, the difference between the two is $21 million and $62 million. That $62 million being about $49 million GO, but as far as total projects, it would be about $62 million.
Mr. Walls, could you help me understand this? Can you tell us, between the two proposals, let's look at the University of Minnesota first, what the difference is in the two proposals in GEO?
Mr. Chairman, the document that was handed out is a side-by-side comparison of the two most recent proposals by each body. As you can see, the differences are highlighted, so any dark text that you see is where there's a difference indicated in the two proposals. On the House side, the project amounts reflect a inflationary factor that approximates 6% inflation rather than the 8.6 suggested by the Department of Finance that is used in the Senate proposal. Those are aside from some other differences in system-wide projects and HEPR, I believe most of the differences are in that inflationary factor. The House proposal, depending on your
right
perspective.
Let me just see if we can cut to the...
Sure.
The Senator Reinseth has told me on numerous occasions that we ought to talk about GEO. I mean, I've had that pounded into my head, and I've learned painfully from when someone gives me a number that I thought was the GEO number, and it turns out it wasn't. Can you tell me the GEO difference in the University of Minnesota?
Mr. Chairman, it looks to be about $1.5 million for the University of Minnesota.
And the difference in GEO in the area of Minsky?
Mr. Chair, that looks to be roughly $28 million.
How much?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Walton. Now, Senator Dill, there's kind of a two-part question. If you want to add, we've got the $3.5 million in Metro Parks that we're going to try to find some money for, and you're still not saying that's exactly where you want to be, but we have, the difference between the two is, in GO terms only, roughly $30 million in GO. And what would you suggest, or would you suggest all 30? And I'm willing to do whatever you'd like. All 30 would bring it right back to the Senate proposal or a number somewhere in between.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would like to defer to my leader, Senator Keith Langsaff.
Senator Langsaff.
We have a general position that we don't want to touch the front page, and we went to $21 million last offer, and I leave it up to him.
Right.
Mr. Chair, if you're going to fill a deficiency on the House proposal, you cut the House higher education. You don't need to cut the Senate higher education because we've got the $7 million.
Right, and this is why it's helpful to work only from one document at a time, because now we're back to working on two documents. And so if you don't want to cut any higher education, Senator, you would suggest adding $29.5 million. That means we now have a little bit larger number to go find, but that is what you would add, $29.5 million of GO bonding. At some point, if anyone has suggestions on where to get it, that would be great. But if that's... Is that what you'd like to do, Senator, or are you saying there's mid-ground? I'm speaking to Senator Dillon.
Mr. Chair, I mean, our proposal is $21 million, and we've got the $7 million for the Metro Parks. So,
Senator, we're not before the committee. We're discussing a different document. I really would like to try to get this done and just suggest the number that you want us to add to our document and then try to go find. That's all I'm asking.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, it looks to me that the two big items that are, I'm trying to figure out where the $28 million difference was, and I found two big items, but I can't seem to find the rest. And one is Rim Wildlife Area Acquisition. You have at $11 million, and we have at $5 million, and that's below our original amount. That does look like it's a little low. And the forensic facility,
correct,
which is $11 million, so that is $17 million, which we had the proposal that go over the $280 because we could get by with the design money. And I'm please point out to me where in other places, now that we have the combined document.
Sure.
Oh, I found one more, $5 million. For the regional grants on line 311, you're spending 15 and we're spending 10. That's $5
million. Is that in the D section? That's part of the Medtronic.
And, here's another $2 million. Permanent supportive housing loans. You have 14 and we have 12, and that's a very worthy cause. So we're up to 24. And then Big Island, right. You have 1.5 and we have 1, so that's 1.5 million, 25.5. And the Colin Powell Youth Leadership Center, you have at 2 million, 27.5, and then I think there's a few nickel and dime items.
And some additional
spending that we've done.
Right.
Oh, here's a big one.
They're involved.
Russo Infrastructure Repair and Improvements. You have at 13.2 and we have at 10.5, so that's 2.7. And the rural infrastructure, you have at 10 and we have at 5. And the one we don't want, the home and field, you have at 1 and we have at 0. So I guess those are where you are spending more than we're spending.
Right. Except we're working from one document. That's the Cook's tour of the
difference. And taking that out of higher education. So that's kind of the trade-off with those projects versus fully funding the higher education, right, except for the $21 million cut in
GPR. And Senator, a long time ago when we started the meeting, I think I was fairly clear about that's where the money was coming from. And we had done a Republican project, the DFL project, changed the inflation factor to get there. I don't think I've denied it. But where we're at now is what I hear the Senate saying is we're crazy, we need more money for higher ed, and I'm just respectfully asking what that amount is.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the amount is in our last proposal.
We are willing to take a $21 million cut in higher education.
And Senator, we're not working from your, I know it's hard, we're not currently working from your proposal.
Representative Dorman, it's not very helpful for you to stay on this document thing.
Yes,
we have the comparison documents now.
Right. Senator, it wasn't very helpful the other day when we went through too, so, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but we're going to give it a shot. Now, if you're unwilling to do that, say that.
I'm unwilling to do that.
That's fine. Then don't do it. That's fine. Don't do it. Senator Dill.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a motion?
Be careful. There isn't anything on the table. There is no document on the table.
Mr. Chair?
Senator. And of course, Senator Dill and the Senator. Senator Dill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, what I was going to do is move to take $1 million from St. Paul Holman Field and put it back on State Park acquisition.
Okay, and that's all right. I just, Reverend Hausman's going down another road. The add first and subtract later, and you're suggesting we go to the add and subtract at the same time. What's your prayer? I mean, I don't care, but I'm happy to go either way.
Well, I'll withdraw the motion for the time being.
Okay. I mean, I think either way works, Senator. Someone pick it. And
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
Since neither one of these have been approved, then motions aren't...
Mr. Chair, I'm perhaps looking for some help. Senator Langston indicated that he was willing to drop $21 million of higher ed off his chart. But so if we take that approach and go to your document, how much more then would we need to add to higher ed in your document to satisfy his approach here?
In geo terms, but eventually we have to come back and resolve. We may still have a problem later because of the where you add that can create some problems. But just in geo terms only, which is what Senator Langston likes to look at, $7 million in geo dollars. But depending on where you put it, you may or may not have a problem with it.
It's
28. So I believe
it's $28 million.
Okay, well now I'm confused. The difference between... 28 million of geo dollars would get back to your exact position. Was that your question, Senator? 28 million gets you back to the $21 million reduction.
Okay, so we
from the original. No, it doesn't.
28, Mr. Chairman. $28 million added to the House proposal would bring it up to the Senate proposal.
Correct.
Which would be 21 million below what the Senate had been at.
Correct.
Since the House is now 49 million below. Take 49, add 28, you're at the 21. I think that was the question.
Right. So the motion or the suggestion would be to, we're trying to find $3.5 million for Metro Parks, to take it back to the last proposal made by the Senate, you would add an additional $28 million in GEO to the House provision, right? Correct.
Okay.
And so that would get... Senator Sengem, that would bring the document that we're working on in the area of higher education back to the last Senate proposal.
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
Senator Langston did relent a bit. What is the number then, based on his willingness to relent? Is it still 20?
Right. This would be $28 million gets you to the point where he relented too.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to mention one thing. I know I have always tried to stick to GEO because that's really what we're talking about as far as state responsibility. But if you talk about the difference in the amount of construction the next couple of years between the two documents, you're talking about the difference between $21 million and $62 million. So it would be $41 million less construction the next 2 years under the House, Senate, House proposal as compared to the Senate.
Thank you. Well, Senator Senjum, what we are trying to do is, and maybe Senator Pappas is right, it is futile. What we're trying to do is reconcile something, and I sure want to keep trying. In order, if you want to go back up to where he had relented to, it'll take $28 million in GO dollars, and that is also much more spending because of how it works. So.
Mr. Chair, obviously, if we were to find $28 million for the first page, we'd have to also find those dollars for subsequent pages.
Right.
You know, and we go down that track.
And I think we should try to work that. And so I'm happy to start from there and work together. As Representative Hausman said, let's see if we can find that middle ground. So is that what you'd like to do? Okay, so now we've got $3.5 million and $28 million. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just think that, again, if we're looking for the middle ground, I'm wondering if we could really determine the middle ground from where it worked well when we did the GO. We started at 780 and they started at the 975. I'm wondering if Mr. Walls could give us, I think on the same spreadsheet that shows both our proposals, it also shows both our original proposals. And I'm wondering, what would be the GO number that would be halfway between the Senate's original bill they passed and our original bill we passed? I'm just curious, what would that GO number be? Might give us a good history of where the middle ground would be here.
Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair, with the best math I can conjure up at the table here, it appears...
Why don't we come back to it and just see if you can... That's a difficult question. You can do some...
Mr. Chair, it's roughly $150 million.
Mr. Chair, I believe for the University of Minnesota, the House was at $89 million originally. The Senate was at $118 million. It's a difference of roughly $30 million. $15 million to the House would make it $105 million to meet halfway between those two. For MNSCU, the House is originally at $118 million. The Senate at $182 million, that's roughly a difference of $64 million. 64 split in half at 32 gets you to $150 million GO for MNSCU, and that would be halfway between the two.
Okay, Mr. Chair, if I could then. Mr. Walls, again, the simple landscape method, halfway between our House proposal that's getting the daylights knocked out of it right now for being too low is actually about $3 million below being halfway dead in the middle for higher education. And it would be my proposal, Mr. Chair, a suggestion that we should reach out. They've reached out to us and met us halfway. I think we should meet halfway in higher ed.
I think that's a good suggestion, but, you know, Representative McNamara, I think Representative Hausman's put us on a course that I happen to like, and so if you would consider trying to go down the Representative Hausman course for a moment and see which would be to find out where the real pressure points are and then go back and try to pay for them, I thought that was it. So by my unofficial scoring, we're at $31.5 million needed to bring the document into balance that would move back to the last Senate position fully in higher ed and $3.5 million in Metro Parks. You might have any other suggestions? And probably I don't think there would be. I mean, I don't think. Okay, now we go to the how do we pay for it? So we have to figure out how to come up with $31.5 million, whether it be from wherever, to bring it back into balance. We've got to deal. That's the hard part now. Thank you.
Oh, this is...
This is the time you're handy to have a bigger target, isn't it?
Make a mess. And then what are the
Well, I'm going to be bold and suggest the first one. I would suggest, and Representative McNamara, you're probably not going to like this. It was not that good. I'm going to suggest that we take the $3.5 million from line 84. That brings you, you know, I think that Representative Hausman is. And without getting into the rural-urban, I think that gets rural guys get rung up. Oh, he snuck back in. Somebody, we get rung up as rural folks as that's rural. You know, the Senate had proposed something. I'm trying to find that middle ground there, and so I'm going to suggest we reduce that number from 11 to 7.5 million. I'm sorry, I apologize.
84.
Number 2, line 84, Rim Wildlife Area Acquisition. President McNamara, I was hoping you were going to stay out of the room for a little bit. Well, I'm just tentatively suggesting a place that we can go to get $3.5 million. It would be a shift from something that happens in the rural area to the metropolitan parks. It wouldn't be quite as deep as the Senate last proposal was, but I do think it is reasonable. Senator Langston.
Mr. Chair, with regard to the RIM, you know, the CREP program, while it's just $23 million state, is over $100 million state and federal. And that's why I think we felt that this particular year, when you had over $100 million in a program that's somewhat similar, we didn't need to go quite as heavy on it this year. In future years, then I think it would be different if there was not a CREP program. But that's why we did at this point feel comfortable going along.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I may speak passionately about jobs and such in Minnesota, but if you want to throw an arrow in me, go after this program. This is an extremely important program for our environment. This is an important program for the sportswoman, sportsmen, bird watchers, whatever. $11 million is halfway between the Senate and the House. It's a reasonable proposal. It's very important to suburban people that are sportsmen today that need places to hunt, fish, trap, and visit. And it would be very, very unfortunate for us to go after this proposal. It is the one that means the most to me, Mr. Chair, and I would hope that we do not go after what is a very reasonable compromise to go halfway between the Senate and the House. And I think that all of those that the sportsmen, sportswomen are important to would not want to be voting to cut the daylights out of this program. The original bill was $20 million carried by the majority leader in the House. We've cut that down to almost half. It's an extremely good program that would be very unfortunate to attack it in such a major way.
Representative McNamara, are you comfortable swallowing hard for at least a temporary basis? And I suggested $3.5 million. I know you really don't like it. I understand that, but I'm just trying to get the ball rolling to see if public process actually works. And so, if you could accommodate me, I'd be happy to come back and visit it again. But I just think we need to. It's easy to say we want to add. I just thought I'd get the ball rolling. And so Senator Langseth would say you could go six. I'm just saying let's take it down 3.5 for now. Could you accommodate me? I'd appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, I'll work with you
Thank you.
Whatever way you want.
I should appreciate it. All right. So that would now mean that tentatively we have solved the
Metro Park proposal. I think it'd be a little bit unfair to link them directly, and I think that may be what happens, but it shouldn't be seen that way, because really we're just trying to find out where the bill's out of balance. So I don't think it would be fair to link them up that directly. So we solved that problem. We're $28 million away from either having a bill, save the governor coming in telling us we've got a higher target, which would solve it, but are there other areas that members are willing to Senator Langston?
You have $500,000 for the Red River Canoe area. That was my original proposal in our bill, but the reason I did that was because I didn't know how much it was going to cost. This is by far the largest designated canoe route in the state of Minnesota. It goes from Breckenridge to the Canadian border. So I just put in $500,000, and I found out later that $500,000 would get us nearly to the North Pole. So I...
But keep you bringing in $200,000.
To get us to the Canadian border is...
Oh, you want to go to the Canadian? I admire.
No, the Canadians can pay for their own canoe route, right, which they're doing. So I appreciate your generosity, but you can save $200,000 there.
All right.
It'll take us clear to Canada.
Thank you, Senator, for pointing out.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Pappas, just for clarity, what he is speaking of is line 87, page 2, Red River North Canoe Route. The House proposal said, it's part of the problem with working with a gazillion different proposals at once, is sometimes you get them confused, and that was one with our error, moving it from $500,000 to $300,000, which is inching us closer. Senator Pappas?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would actually like to bring the Red Lake Schoolhouse number 65 proposal up $2 million from the House, $18 million.
Sure.
And I would propose to take the money from the Colin Powell Youth Center. I think they have a great potential for private fundraising, and I don't think that our $2 million is going to make or break that project.
Right. Okay. And we'll speak to that just a second, Representative Broad. Let's go back to the addition side again. Is there any other additions that anyone sees?
So, Mr. Chairman, you told me I had to work within the document, and I'm taking...
No, you do, but Representative Hausman suggests we go through the additions and then see if we can find the money for it.
Oh, well, I found the money already.
Okay, and so what I'm saying is, are there more additions that... And then we're going to go to the subtractions page.
You mean problem areas. So I identified Red Schoolhouse as a problem area. Okay, I'll
right.
find
so, and so, and if that's the only, if there's another one, let me know. But otherwise,
right.
Otherwise, now we have another addition of $2 million, and then Senator Pappas, if there's no other additions, she's also suggesting that we have a discussion on.
I have another area.
Yeah, please,
Mr. Chairman, on line 367, the planetarium really needs to be at $24 million.
Okay, how much would that take? Is that four?
It's four.
$4 million.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are there others, Senator Pappas? And you, this is not that you can't, if you see one later, I'm not going to say, holy, you should have brought it up. But.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I would point out that I think with the Joint Plant Pathology Research Facility, you need to go to the, either do the design or go to the 4.9.
Right.
It doesn't work with having the university pick up. So I think that's a problem area.
Right. Well, it does work in another way, Senator, which is to make a grant available for them and then allow either the University of Minnesota to take action if they choose. They just can't convene to take it, or to let groups like the soybean growers come up with the additional funds. And so there's a couple ways to do
that. Okay. So then that would be the Senate position then, rather than having the university pick up one third. Because in your proposal, the university is picking up one-third of the cost.
Right, and so what we suggested is a language change to make a $3 million grant available to them,
okay,
not forcing them to do something if they can't do it. That's
so where else do you need to come up?
Okay. Representative Hausman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to introduce a group that has visited us. They have green signs that talk about housing matters. They have a slightly different experience in life than we do, and that at least six or eight of that group are homeless right now and have no place to live, and they are here because we're one of the lines we're talking about is the supportive housing, and they are an engaged part of the public who decided to come and watch our work, and we thank them for coming to visit us.
Thank you, and welcome to the committee. Representative Hausman, did you have a suggestion on anything else? All right, so now we're $34 million away, as I keep score. Is that right, roughly? Okay. And now I think if we're going to go back to the try to find the money side, let's have a discussion over the Colin Powell Youth Leadership Center in the city of Minneapolis.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Pappas.
Actually, I only need $1 million because we could take $1 million from the dike and put that toward the Red Schoolhouse.
So, Senator Pappas, so I can just understand what you're saying, you're suggesting reducing the grant to the Colin Powell Youth Access Center from $2 million to $1 million,
mm-hmm.
but then all... Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but also making a reduction in the Holman Field area from $1 million to zero. Is that correct?
And putting that toward the Red Lake School.
Okay. I'm trying to avoid the linkage so no one says, jeepers, why did you do that? And all of a sudden you're inundated with, and it may not be this case, but
well, Mr. Chairman,
I don't know that I'd link it correctly.
However you want to work, you linked with Representative McNamara. I thought that's what we were supposed to do.
I'm trying to not link.
If you want to just mention generic cuts, we could do that too.
Great. Okay, no, that's fine. Well, all right, so now let's see here. We went to 34. You've identified $2 million in reductions, which, and Representative Broad, I know if you're passionate about it, we're not done. That would, for the time being, get us down to $32 million over where we need to be. No, I do forget. I think that's right. And Senator Pappas, even though it wasn't required, I appreciate you identifying sources. That's very much appreciated. Now, if we can find some additional cuts, or if we can, and I know the Senate is reluctant to do it, but if there's anywhere on the front page we can revisit, I'm open to suggestions. Senator Pappas.
Well, Mr. Chairman, on line 311, we could go to the Senate position on the redevelopment grants and just have $10 million instead of $15 million. We could pick up $5 million there.
Right. The Senator, thank you very much. You beat me, but that would be very difficult for several reasons, including the fact that spread throughout this document is the late entry of the $20 million are in different funds for the 2,000 jobs at Medtronic, and that is one of the areas in which it's in, and so reducing that jeopardizes that. Representative.
But Mr.
Yes, ma'am.
I thought they had $25 million somewhere else for the Medtronic project.
It's not all.
The bioscience development on line 325, that's the Medtronic proposal.
Let me get clarification because I understood it to be. Part of the frustration, frankly, is it's always been difficult for me to track that because it is a late entry from the governor, which is important to the whole state. I grant that, but I want to find out exactly where those dollars are. And we still may want to do it, but let's just understand it.
Also, Mr. Chairman, that is more generic bioscience corridors, bioscience projects, because we don't know for sure that the Medtronic project is going to happen.
That is very much correct. And so let me go and get clarification on exactly where that is. Representative McNamara, would you steer the helm of the ship here for a minute?
Well,
See, we added.
I have another.
Senator, please.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't understand. 319 under the WIF proposal, we have two different levels for the Burnsville project. $3 million for the house. Can that come down to $2,500?
Right, right. That's certainly a possible suggestion. Senator Langseth looks like he wishes to speak to that.
And
Mr. McDaniel, could you find out exactly, you know, where the money is in the documents, so I have it in my head for Medtronic. If you could just put that on a piece of paper so I can...
Sure.
You're all right. I don't care anybody else says about you. Senator.
Chairman, we were at 3.5. You were at 2.5. You're at 3 and we're at 2.5, so I guess we kind of passed each other on the road.
And so, Senator, you wanted to go to 2.5, is that what I heard you say?
Well, I'm not sure.
I missed Senator Pass. Senator Pass.
Okay,
I'm sure.
That's my
point. Okay, so that's another $500,000.
Where is that?
I'm sorry, Representative Murphy, I apologize.
319.
That would be 319 on page 6, the Burnsville Water Project, from $3 million to... Senator Pappas is suggesting a number of $2.5 million.
And Mr. Chairman, in deference to Representative Murphy, I'll withdraw my suggestion on the redevelopment grant.
And if there's another area, but I want to just get on paper so I can keep it straight in my head. I have a hard time following one spreadsheet, let alone two, but then try to keep something in my head that's not written down sometimes is hard for me, and I apologize for that. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to speak about a couple of them. We're really going, it seems to be a little bit helter-skelter, but the Burnsville one comes to mind. I don't know if everybody's familiar with that project, but it's a terrific opportunity to capture what's currently water going right into the Minnesota River. It's a $10 million project. It's a cooperative agreement between Edward Kramer, the quarry pit owner, the city of Burnsville and the state of Minnesota to more environmentally capture that water and protect the nearby fens. And $3 million is really important to make this project happen. Original thoughts were that if it could be done a third, a third, a third. We've tweaked that to try and accommodate things, and so we've brought
a
little
shy. I think it's within the range. I mean, I think that they certainly like a larger number, and I appreciate that Senator Pappas has at least suggested something.
McNamara, I understand. I'm sure it's a very important project. I'm just suggesting the original house number
right. Because
my priority is higher education, and so I'm looking for dollars so that we don't have to cut higher education so much.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate what you're saying as well, but we've got and Senator Pappas, I know this isn't your preference, but I do appreciate you accommodating me and trying to work through this. I mean that sincerely. Thank you. I do have a question either for Senator Pappas or Senator Langseth. While it's not large dollars, I would like to visit about the front part of the page and in the area of inflation for a moment. And Senator, I know you and I have went from wanting to do it all to privately having discussions that we thought it should be a different number to wanting to do it all. And so we've been all over the board. And are you married to, because I think even in the Hausman proposal there was, I think, a suggestion that we do something there. Is it possible to save a few dollars there, or is that just a no-go for you?
Mr. Chair, no, in the Hausman proposal, I don't think it did make a... I think it left the full inflation. In talking,
you're correct.
In talking to the higher ed, they seem to think that's very important. I know we've talked about this thing about being able to move money around and so on, which seemed to make a little sense. But I guess I would suggest at this point we not deal with that. But if we can,
fair enough.
I think I'd like to stay off the front page until we do as much of this other as we can.
Fair enough, sir.
No, I don't think that's what you do.
If you are the so where we're at, if I am scoring along at home correctly or here, I think we're at $31.5 million. Of that, the biggest part of that would be $28 million in higher ed. Is that so? We got the 28 in higher ed, and 30. We've got 3.5 million other for a total of 31.5.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to, I know this seems to be a sensitive one, but does cause a real problem to our budget here, but the forensic nursing home, I talked to somebody, maybe it was somebody speaking out of turn with the administration, but he had mentioned something about that they had actually started out with our figure at 1.6, then eventually went to this 12.6 million, I think it is. It was always the intention of the Senate to fund it, but since the site hasn't been chosen yet, and we don't know what the which of the four sites it would be, we felt do the 1.6 now. They come up with the site and the amount of money, and then we simply fund that next year. I know when I've tried to do something with that before, I always meet a lot of resistance, but it is $11 million difference, and I think both the House and the Senate fully intend to fund that at whatever level the site is at.
And Senator, just so I can be clear, and I apologize for obviously not having been clear before, that is a deal breaker for the House, and so we have a lot of flexibility. I think Representative Broad feels quite passionately, and she's being very reserved on how she feels about the Colin Powell Center, and I think Representative McNamara. I mean, those are our concerns, and those are things that well, I'm not saying they're committed to them yet, they're at least not breaking the deal. That one for our side is a deal breaker.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I would just kind of like to know why it's a deal breaker. I mean,
right.
I mean, you heard my rationale, and I guess what's the rationale for it being all funded this year when we don't even know where it's going to be or what the site's going
to
be?
Well, I think that's actually in our language, it would go to Agua Ching, and so I think it's a language difference as well. And so in our mind, we do know where the site's going to be. It's a smaller number. I believe that was arrived at least from the department standpoint of sending it to Anoka, and friends at Anoka have no interest in the facility is one concern. The other concern is, well, anecdotally, you hear things from people. Very hard to get them to come forward and sit at that table and say things. And so I also hear that, no, it won't get done in time, and we need to protect the citizens of the state from sexual predators. We have a problem there. And while it's not something fun to spend money on, that it's something necessary. And I would say the same thing for the correctional facility at Faribault. There are a few items that on our side of the aisle just really tear the deal apart. And also, don't forget, you and I have also tried to accommodate the governor as much as we could. Hopefully, if we get it done within these parameters, we don't suffer the Governor Ventura veto.
Mr. Chair, you know, in talking to both the governor and Commissioner Goodnow, they want to have the choice as to where the site is. Now, that doesn't deal with the amount of money we're talking about, but it does deal with the language. And I would think before we put the language in, we should hear from the administration and the commissioner as to whether they want to be allowed to pick whatever four sites it is, or whether they would want it to be designated.
Okay. Thank you. Good suggestions, and we'll see if we can. Ms. Broad, could you take the helm for a moment? And is John Rakowski in the room? that we're going to back up to, the question that I have in my head, and perhaps Mr. Rakowski can tell us where in the bill, in dollar amounts, what is necessary to complete the Medtronic portion. And I'm going to go call the Speaker of my house. She still teaches until about 3, but I think I can get her on at the point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Rakowski with the Department of Employment and Economic Development. Most of you are pretty familiar with the site in Moundsview where Medtronic is looking at making their expansion in the next few years. The initial job creation projections are 2,000, but long term they are 5,000. I wanted to point that out as well. But regarding the bonding bill, the request to you last night was to increase the redevelopment account by $5 million, to increase the bioscience development account by an equal amount of $5 million. And the project, because it's so road and bridge intensive in Moundsview, that the other $5 million would come from the roads and bridges account as just part of the MnDOT process. I also want to point out that we asked to put the $5 million increases in those two accounts to provide you with the flexibility you might need. However, we're just as equally supportive of taking $10 million from the bioscience account for the Medtronic project, because Medtronic will tell you that, and they've been saying this to the public for about the last year, that in the next 5 years they will be a bioscience company. They're not just a traditional medical device company. So we're okay with the 5 and 5 scenario, redevelopment or bioscience redevelopment, or the $10 million just out of the bioscience. When you do that, when you consider that, please also consider then that we'd need to remove the earmark language that was in the original House language that said there's $15 million for bioscience, $5 million for Minneapolis, $5 million for Rochester, and $5 million for St. Paul. What we would do is just ask that we have maximum statewide flexibility and that all projects come forward and we would consider them on the merit. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rakowski. Do you have any further questions on that? Anybody else have any questions?
Mr. Chair, or Madam Chair, I would just mention that, you know, this certainly may be the thing we should do. In our proposal, we put it in, but it did make the agreement $5 million tougher when an additional $5 million comes in. So that's why I can't quite understand why the 880 is so extremely rigid. If $5 million comes in later, then why not 885? You know, because it just puts that much more pressure on the rest of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Langfist. Does anybody have any other ideas? We're kind of going down the list.
Well, I did find a couple other missing things in the House bill, Madam Chair, and that is on 346. We would really like to the Kelly Farmland acquisition. We consider that a regional project of $700,000. That's missing in the House proposal. And that's on page 7. And then on
Senator Pappas, are you planning on linking that then? Or do you have any ideas on where you're planning on getting the money from?
No, Madam Chair, Representative Dorman said not to link and just list some of the problem areas. So on page 5, 269, the Denoyer Park is a small amount, $388,000. We would also like that.
Well, Senator Pappas, I guess some links have been made and some links have not been made. So, since Denoyer, is that in your district, Senator?
No.
It is not. Do you have any ideas on where to get the money for that program in the Kelly? I'm just trying to find out. We're kind of moved along from where to put things to where to get things.
Okay.
And so if we could kind of continue on that there.
We could take it from the other $1 million from the Colin Powell Youth Leadership Center, and we could take it from on line 354, the Blue Earth Fire and Police Station. I don't think that's really a regional project.
Okay. Well, Senator Pappas, do you have any thoughts then in regards to line 359? When you look at line 354, do you have any thoughts on that?
I'm not familiar with that project. I've been to the Blue Earth Fire Station, but I'm not familiar with the Detroit Lakes Regional Pavilion.
Chair. Yeah, Representative Murphy.
When we had testimony in our committee about the Blue Earth Police Fire Station, we heard that it was serving a vast area, especially the fire department. It was serving a vast area for training, and it was a regional. It had regional impact.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Murphy. And I don't know, is there anybody here from the deals with the Blue Earth Fire?
Well,
maybe Representative Cornish, do you want to talk to the regional nature of that project?
Madam Chair and members, that's in my Senate district. It's in Bob Gunther's district. It lies south of Mankato, about 30 miles, and it does reach in a wide area. It has a lot of townships that it serves, even in a large circle around, not just the town of Blue Earth, but a large circle of townships around it. In fact, reaches over two of my townships, over towards Wells, so it is a large region, not just the city of Blue Earth.
Senator Pappas, do you have any questions at all for Representative Cornish regarding that project?
No, Madam Chair. It's just that I'm just a little nervous if we go down the road of funding with bonding dollars to everyone's fire and police station. You know, where is that going to end?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Madam Chair, that was in both proposals. The I guess the reason I felt somewhat comfortable doing that in the Senate was that it wasn't just for one community, it was for several communities, which was kind of encouraging them to cooperate. And also, you know, what I do once in a while is, if a certain area doesn't really seem to be getting much, and they have a very small request, I tend to do it, even if it's somewhat local. When we were asked to strip out the local stuff, to get the approval of the speaker for $950 million, that got stripped out, even though it was in both proposals. So that's kind of the background of it. It isn't totally local because there's several different communities, but I guess we probably aren't going to be able to come up with funding for everybody.
Madam Chair, I think there's some inconsistencies that are going on because there's lots of proposals here that were in both bills that aren't being funded by one side or the other. You know, you look down the line, you've got the Rochester Public Safety Training Center. That was in both bills, and that's in neither offer. So I think we need to be, you know, if we're not going to do local projects, if we can't really even afford to do them at the 880. You know, at the 950, we were told to strip them out. At the 880, we can't afford to do them.
Well, Senator Pappas, are you making a suggestion then in regards to the Rochester project as well, and where do you plan to get the money to make that swap?
Madam Chair, my point with that, we're not being consistent in how we're applying our rules, and I think that's very frustrating for people who request dollars from us and for people in the audience when, in this case, we're funding the, you know, the Big Earth Fire and Police Station and the Buffalo Lake Maintenance Garage and Street Repair, but we're not doing the Rochester Public Safety Training Center, and, you know, I'm sure there's other projects we're not doing.
Well, Senator Pappas, I think when you bring in Buffalo Lake into there's a little bit different situation at play in regards to not just a new...
That the tornado.
That's right. There was a natural disaster in that area.
So, Madam Chair, if we have that circumstance, and so we make exceptions for our rule of not funding local public safety facilities, fine. But let's just apply it consistently.
You know, thank you, Senator Pappas. I think what we'll do right now is take a 10-minute recess, and we'll reconvene in a few minutes.
The conference committee back to order, and I think that technically we were supposed to be done at 2 o'clock today, and then not meet again until.
Don't worry about a thing. I have another flight.
Come back anytime after noon on Tuesday. I think with great disappointment I've come to the realization that we've made probably, at least in my mind, more progress in the last, actually a lot more progress since I left the room, maybe that's a hint, but made a lot more progress in the last couple of hours than has been made in the last couple of days, and I think that but it is time to break for Easter. I'm as disappointed as all that we don't have this done. I think it's very, very, very unfortunate, and so I think that we ought to break and go home. I think that we should have renewed faith in the public process, that we seem to get over a couple of hurdles, but then seem to be able to work together in a bipartisan public fashion and get the work done. I think that's a good thing. I think we've made tremendous progress working with the side-by-sides or however so we can all see it, and that's just great. And well, when I drop the hammer, the gavel goes over to my friend. We're still friends a little bit, aren't we, Senator?
Oh yes. Yes.
Right. Yes, my friend Senator Langseth, and he'll have the chair, and I would only encourage him to not let the pressure of just because after Easter, let's try not to let the pressure die, and you certainly control it. I'm just respectfully requesting that consider bringing us back, you know, Tuesday afternoon and picking up where we left off and pushing forward till we get something done. But I do want to again extend my handshake to you, Senator, and say I'm very much appreciative of all the all your efforts on the Senate side and what you've done on the past week. I think I'm very appreciative and thankful. And with that, I don't know if anybody else has any comments, and then we'll go enjoy our holiday celebration. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I just have a question for Senator Langseth. I think it's been advantageous for the people of Minnesota to fully see and hear what's been going on. I know in the past they've had trouble in the Capitol with getting a room where Minnesotans can watch it on TV. I'm wondering if we need to help him accommodate finding a room with TV, or if he thinks they can find one at the Capitol with TV.
I always kind of thought no TV is a good thing. Then we wouldn't be, you know, talking quite as long and turning our good side and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know why.
I thought because we were home. You and I only, though, not everybody else.
I don't know. It is. 123 works awful good for me because my office is right next there. But
No, in comments, I do hear, Senator, if people do feel that it's, and I haven't sat in the audience, I don't hear very well anyway, but that they have problems acoustically in that room, but it is certainly your decision to make, and he's asking, and I know I speak for other House members that like the public record and like to do it, but it is certainly your choice.
Mr. Chair, one of our staff people said that there's a possibility there's going to be TV in 123 by the time we get back.
That'd be great.
So we'll see.
Okay. Thank you, Representative McNamara. Do you have any closing remarks, anyone else, or Senator Langseth?
Well, I don't know. Let's jump her up to about 9:25 and close the deal.
We'd have been done. I agree. Thank you, and thank you, everyone in the audience. This meeting is adjourned.